I've been waiting all week for this, and here it is. The Illegal Curve Radio Show starts now. Here comes 2 hours of hard-hitting hockey talk, and here's your host, Drew the Bear Mindell. Love
it. Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those tuning in live tonight at www.ustream.tv, good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Radio Show. We have a jam-packed 2 hours for you on this Wednesday night, coming up in about 15 minutes' time, making his third appearance on the radio program from the Anaheim Ducks Radio Network, the lead analyst on Anaheim Ducks Radio. Dan Wood is going to be joining us to talk about all things Ducks-related. Coming up at 8:40 tonight from the Edmonton Journal, we're going to be joined by David Staples. He's going to talk about all things in the Oilers' land right now. That's Nikolai Habibulin's drunk driving arrest and conviction. That's Sam Gagne signing as an RFA. That's really everything the Oilers' offseason. So it is a full 2 hours with those two guests. In addition, we're going to talk Ice Edge Holdings. They're no longer in the running to be an owner of the NHL franchise in Phoenix. We're going to talk Ilya Kovalchuk, his contract, another development on that. We have an action-packed 2 hours, as like I said. The phone number to get in touch with us here in studio, area code 204-780-5425. That's 780-KICK, 780-5425. Of course, you can send us an email, drew@illegalcurve.com, or you can follow us on Twitter and send us your comments on Twitter, @illegalcurve. Before I go any further, I'd like to introduce the co-hosts and analysts on this program. In fact, there's a call coming in on line one already.
Wow, Drew.
That's quick.
Yeah, I haven't even talked yet.
I know. I've been running around with my mouth here. That the voice you heard, Richard Pollock. Richard, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bear.
Good evening. To my right, the man who I usually cannot see as he's blocked by my computer monitor, Ezra Ginsberg. Ezzy, welcome to the program.
Shalom, Drew. And by the way, you can easily move that computer because when Richie hosts, he always makes sure that we like to talk eye to eye.
I can't really though. This is where the camera is, Drew,
yeah. So you can't see me. But
never.
It's good to be here. Bear.
A lie.
Drew, yeah. It's your father actually.
Wow. Mm. Dad, welcome to the program.
Well, I have a quick question.
Turn your radio down first.
I did. I have a quick question before I go out for dinner.
Hi, Sheldon.
Hi, guys. If Ice Edge isn't in the running, then who is?
Well, thanks for leading us into the first topic. Can we say goodbye and we'll carry on with that topic? Is that good?
Okay.
Have a great dinner, Sheldon.
Enjoy dinner.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was my father, everybody. He's obviously drunk as usual. Anyways, who's in the running if it's not Ice Edge? Allegedly, there's a new mystery buyer.
Yeah, mystery buyer. You
know, for a second there, I thought the new buyer of the Coyotes was Sheldon and Bell. I don't know what was going on there, man.
This new mystery buyer who's close to making a deal to buy the Coyotes. Any truth to it? Does anybody around this table believe that there is a viable new owner on the horizon that is coming out of the woodwork after 18 months worth of negotiations that is legit, or is this just a ploy to make it seem that all things are hunky-dory in the desert?
Well, before Richie answers this question seriously, I definitely do not think there is a mystery buyer at the present moment, but I think there is potentially someone on the horizon, but I think this mystery buyer currently does not exist.
Nobody in their right mind with money, who's made money in their lives, will buy this Phoenix Coyotes team and keep them in Phoenix or in Glendale. That's not happening. So mystery buyer is probably something made up, as Gary Lawless alluded to in the Free Press this morning, and citing other sources. It's probably something made up to try and inject a little bit of life and enthusiasm into the team and maybe encourage fans to go buy season tickets and go buy luxury boxes. But the fact of the matter is, Drew, to steal your phrase...
That is my phrase.
It's completely ridiculous. Again, guys, I've said it on the show so many times. If anybody was going to buy this team, why didn't they do it 2 years ago, a year and a half ago? Why would they waited this long?
You're not getting it for any... I mean, you're probably going to pay more for it now than you would have at the beginning
especially
of this fiasco.
Especially after the other sales, you know, the rumored Star sale and the Lightning sale and the values of these other teams.
And the city of Glendale isn't going to give it away at this point. They'd love to recoup their $25 million investment.
Nobody's buying that team.
By the way, today's September 1st. Today's September 1st. Guess what starts... Well, there's a three-month countdown. But guess what also starts September 1st?
The debt paying.
Glendale is on the hook for $25 million starting today. Maybe that's why they're, you know, the new rumors of this team coming out of nowhere is coming into fruition.
You had a caller who said it was Barry Schenker.
Yeah, who's going to buy the team?
Yeah.
Okay, then, well, Barry Schenker is the former I think the caller was being tongue in cheek.
Today?
Yeah, just now we had a caller. Denise obviously took it off air. Barry Shankro was the former owner of the Jets, for anybody who doesn't recall that far back.
I had no idea.
Okay, well, there you go. So you learn something new every day, right, Denise? Anyways, it seems to me that's just nonsense. It's just a red herring to distract everybody from the true problem or the true issue at play, which is that the only buyer that seemed the least bit legitimate or pretended to be legitimate, Ice Edge Holdings, is now no longer interested in buying this team.
Were they ever interested? Well, they were interested. They never had enough money.
Well, no, they never had enough money. We know that. That's what we said from the start.
As I said to Melissa Martin and John White as we walked into the studio, and they had their free press show on before us, if the NHL was considered Daryl Jones to be a viable candidate and Ice Edge itself to be a viable candidate to purchase the Coyotes, they would have put a gag order on that ownership group long, long time ago.
Instead,
you see any other owners going out and spouting off like that? There's reasons that leagues don't want guys like Mark Cuban in them, because it's a billion-dollar industry and they want to control exactly what's happening. And with Daryl Jones, in reality, they didn't consider him to be a viable candidate, so he could do whatever the heck he wanted to do.
And I'll tell you what, you should follow Daryl Jones on Twitter. He's Ice Edge DJ, I believe, is what his Twitter name is. You can search for it. It's something pretty close to that. You should follow him to see what a unprofessional clown this guy really is on Twitter.
Well, he called out Gary Lawless's article.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, Gary Lawless's article, I don't know if everyone here read that article that was in the Free Press today that was addressing what we're talking about, and... I actually refollowed Daryl Jones just for S and giggles. But
nice.
he called out Gary Lawless, who I thought his article was really good, Lawless that is, and he was calling him and saying that he didn't have guts or something like that. But in reality, when we were talking about this a year ago, guys, and we were comparing Daryl Jones and Ice Edge, all those guys that are involved with Ice Edge, we were comparing those guys with Jerry Reinsdorf. No one thought that Ice Edge, out of the two, was more likely to own the team, because Jerry Reinsdorf has the connection with Bettman, he has a little bit of a connection with the NHL, and he actually is legitimate with his other...
And he has money.
Sports franchises, exactly.
Wait a minute, whoa.
He's probably worth what? He's probably worth close to $700 million.
Reinsdorf? Yeah. But he's also smart, which is why he's not buying this franchise.
Unless they give it to him on a silver platter.
Even then, they're not, going to buy it.
Can we dismiss this issue? I don't really want to talk about this anymore. It's a waste of time. Until something actually happens.
Well, I mean, I think what's happened is this might very well be the last gasp. I mean, the only group that's really been in there from the start has bailed out so hard that they're now going to own an ECHL franchise in Thunder Bay. This all doesn't make sense.
Talk to us on January 1st.
But it's an interesting thing I think we should point out for the listeners, especially those that are in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
The ones that are in Winnipeg... Be very, you know, I just called Daryl Jones a clown because I think he is very unprofessional in what he does on Twitter. But don't for a second think that Ice Edge
You're backing up.
I know.
Drew.
All right, I'm just saying, don't think for a second that Ice Edge or the Ice Edge ownership group won't have something to do, be it as an affiliate or whatnot, if a NHL team winds up in Winnipeg.
I think it's also, sorry to interrupt you there, Drew, I think it's also pretty funny that in this article and... I'm referencing Gary Lawless's article in the Winnipeg Free Press today, and other articles have mentioned that Daryl Jones is going to provide an advisory role for the new ownership. It doesn't.
Well, they say
why would he be part of anything? I mean, how is he? What, because he's failed to show the Glendale City Council that he's legitimate? I mean, there's absolutely no reason for Daryl Jones to even be mentioned. In the Phoenix Coyotes situation anymore, as I'm concerned.
Right.
If there's an owner, if there's a mystery owner, let's actually have a name maybe and then see where that process is at. But as far as I'm concerned, if Daryl Jones wants to buy an ECHL team or an OHL team or whatever, that's one thing. But as far as his involvement in this whole deal, it's pretty irrelevant at this point. I mean, it seems like his name pops up and we keep hearing the words attempt and try and negotiating, but I don't really think that there's any real negotiating happening
hear the word success.
His name pops up because he wants his name to pop up.
Yep. That's right. And the reason
people buy the stories, they're going to keep writing about it, but now nobody's buying the stories anymore, so he's making his own news. Twitter allows you to make your own news, guys.
Right.
Let's be real.
And the reason why the True North has been so successful in their quest to get a franchise back in Winnipeg is because you never heard a word. They never said a word regarding the NHL.
If the NHL thought Daryl Jones had a viable chance, they would have If he didn't do it on his own, they would have put a gag order on him.
Absolutely.
And they didn't because, again, as I said, they do not take him seriously. So if they do not take him seriously, we should not take him seriously.
So let's
it's
stop talking about
solution.
That. We have 3.5 minutes left in the segment. Let's talk quickly about Ilya Kovalchuk.
Not, yes.
I mean, this needs more time.
Yes, it needs more time, and we will do it. We will do more time.
Very
course,
disappointing.
In a couple of seconds.
Very disappointing that their ruling didn't come out today.
Let me just recap what's happened.
Yes, sure.
Let me just quickly recap what's happened. The NHL and the NHLPA, or the NHL was supposed to either approve or disapprove of the contract that was submitted, and today was the deadline. They have all sides have agreed to extend that deadline to Friday at 5 o'clock. Apparently the situation right now is the way this contract is different than the first one is that this contract is worth 15 years worth $100 million. In the old contract, the last 5 years were worth a total of $2.75 million. In this contract, the last 5 years are worth $10 million. But it's important to note that of that $10 million, $4 million of it is only payable in that final year of the contract.
Now, the issue last time was that he wouldn't play till he was 44.
Right. Now, is he going to play till he's 42, and you're going to pay a guy $4 million to play when he's 42?
No, not realistic.
It
now,
still seems like
if you go to $4 million, you're still paying $6 million as opposed to $2.75, right?
Right.
So there is a significant difference there. But my question is, Drew, why not just leave it at $6 million or make it $7 million? Why give the NHL that extra out there at the end of the $4 million? It doesn't make any sense. It's just like you're trying to slap. It's like you're trying to almost ask the NHL
to reject it,
and you're trying to draw attention to something that really you could have kind of essentially made up for the lack of any kind of point for the NHL to work off of there. I think that they didn't have a starting point there. The NHL could have said, well, you know, we can't really pick it. We can't really dissect this issue because they're paying enough money over the last few years. But they give them that starting point. They say, "Oh, $4 million." You work back from that. You say $4 million, $10 million. You know, $10 million, but $4 million is at the end. So he's probably not going to play till he's 44, as we just stated in the last ruling.
Mm-hmm.
Why would suddenly we now think that he's going to play to 44? And if he's not going to play to 44, well then make it $6 million for one less year. So then, per year, the significance is far less. So, don't get it. I just don't
Richie, all of today's news aside, why did it take Jay Grossman and Lou Lamoriello 2 weeks to drop off $2 million in two years?
That's
that's a bigger story here than whether or not the NHL approves it. Because I think on Friday they will approve it, and the terms will be somewhat different. I don't think this deal is going to get rejected again. But I was expecting 10 years, $90 million, or something like that. Or 10 years, $80 million.
We can go on about this, too.
But isn't it
I agree? They don't even need a forward. I mean, they don't need a forward. Need, in quotes. I mean, they could use him.
I think to be a contender, they need him. I don't think they're a serious contender. Yeah. They definitely need him. And it's like we've talked about time and time again. They need something because they gave up so much for a rental player, right? But I agree with you.
The way Lamoriello goes and has proceeded throughout these entire negotiations, it really does seem like he doesn't really want to sign this guy.
Oh, he definitely wants to sign this guy.
Well,
there's no doubt in my mind that he wants to sign
him. But he wants to sign him at, you know, quote unquote, using illegal practices, quote unquote.
Other people were battling with him around the same figures. He probably would have opted out, and Pepe Kovalchuk would have. But this is kind of a good game of last man standing going
on
here.
The last 5 years on this contract, I mean, are really what all they're doing is taking a 10-year, $90 million contract and trying to make it more palatable. And that's transparent.
Yeah,
I mean, especially when your per year average is dropping in years 11, 12, 13, 14, and then it's jumping up again in year 15.
You
don't have to be a genius to see that you're trying to work
might
around
well
the CBA.
Just, might as well take that $4 million, put a red flag right on top of it.
Exactly, and the NHL is looking at this with such a fine tooth comb. There's no way they're not going to consider that a red flag and put the brakes on it. I mean, it's that simple. Let's leave it there for now. Take our first commercial break. When we come back, Dan Wood of the Anaheim Ducks Radio Network is going to be joining us. We got an action-packed 2 hours. You'll be here. Stay with us.
We
have a cake.
Yeah, Drew,
there's a cake in studio, too.
During
two
the break,
cakes.
Are we going to cut the cake?
I don't know. We'll talk about the cake also. We have two cakes we have to deal with tonight. It's a party here. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 KICK FM.
Ha-ha, I did it!
What?
I connected my Proton Accelerator to my hard drive, and now I can update my Facebook status without viewing all of the annoying ads. I'm a genius!
Or you could just join Winnipeggers.ca, Winnipeg's own social media website, and update your Facebook status right from your Winnipeggers account. Oh. That's right, Winnipeg. Go to winnipeggers.ca and create your profile by logging in with your Facebook account. It's that easy. Plus, enjoy games, contests, and more. Yes, Winnipeg, this is your ultimate homepage.
Because Winnipeg, it's all about you.
Located in the heart of the Exchange District, the Princess Street campus of Red River College remains a marvel of the downtown landscape, featuring a blend of the past and the future. If you want to hold a meeting, workshop, conference, video conference, take wedding photos, or have a photo shoot, consider the Princess Street campus, a unique location that can meet your needs. The Lowen Atrium is an excellent venue for a small reception. Maximum capacity is 300 guests, and the facility includes two 42-inch plasma displays. Screens. Our PC and Mac computer labs have whiteboards, high-resolution data projectors, and range in capacity from 20 to 35 people. The majority of our classrooms are laptop-capable and have whiteboards, high-resolution data projectors, and range in capacity from 15 to 35 people. For more information on facility rentals at the Princess Street campus of Red River College, or to make a booking, call Krista at 949-8337.
Support the Great Canadian Talk Show and shop for our exclusive merchandise at cafepress.com/kicktalk.
A stylish collection of men's and women's t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, barbecue aprons, infant, toddler, and kids' wear. There's coffee mugs and beer steins, stickers, and more. Just go to cafepress.com/kicktalk and show the world you get the real story. From the Great Canadian Talk Show on Winnipeg's Indie Station 92.9, Kick FM.
My name is Walter Mitchell.
Oh, my!
Kick FM. Saturdays, 1 p.m. Retro Evolution. Retro Evolution. 80s.
Ooh, put something to hold. Get the power on the road. Roll
into 92.9 Kick FM.
It's 7:21 in the evening here on 92.9 Kick FM, and you're back on the Illegal Curve Radio Show. My name is Drew Mandel. I am the host of this fine program, and I'm joined in studio by Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. And we're joined on the line now by Dan Wood from the Anaheim Ducks Radio Network. Dan, thanks very much for joining us tonight on the Illegal Curve Radio Show.
Thanks for having me.
Dan, let's start with the Paul Kariya news. It sort of came out of nowhere. Everyone was expecting him to sign somewhere this year, probably on a one-year deal. And one of those places that he was rumored to go was Anaheim. Did the news catch everybody off guard, or was there any rumblings about this in Anaheim?
No, I think it completely caught everyone off guard. I don't know that anyone knew about it. In fact, there was a report in the Orange County Register today, I believe, that Teemu Selanne had returned from Finland and was skating, and Register columnist Randy Youngman wrote that Teemu didn't even know anything about it, that he had talked to Paul during the summer, and Paul had never said anything about potential problems. So I'm left to wonder whether this is a result of something that happened last year, or perhaps something that happened more recently, maybe in training or something of that sort this summer. And it's really unfortunate because, you know, Paul, whether he would have been here or been somewhere else, he certainly can help an NHL team if he's healthy.
You know, Dan, it really it almost goes back all the way back to that Gary Suter cross-check way back when he was with Anaheim. Was that 97 or 98? I forget what year that was exactly. But
98, right before the Olympics, as I recall.
That's exactly right. And the concussions of, you know, these things are getting a lot of attention, obviously, in all of sports, but it's a scary thing. I wanted to ask you about Kariya, and you alluded to the fact that, you know, he could have ended up in Anaheim. Was the Ducks' interest, from what you were hearing, was the Ducks' interest, was it real?
It was definitely real. There's no question about that. The Ducks would very much have liked to have had a healthy Paul Kariya, and my understanding is that there were maybe two or three teams interested in Paul, and, you know, he was weighing opportunities. And certainly one of those was from Anaheim, and from the Ducks' perspective, I know for a fact they would like to have brought him in, and, you know, unfortunate for Paul primarily, and we just have to hope that, you know, he gets healthy, and hopefully he can play again, but at the very least leave the concussion issues behind.
That's right. So, Dan, we've been scratching our heads pretty much all summer wondering why Bobby Ryan hasn't signed yet. Could you maybe update us a little bit on where the contract negotiations negotiations. I can't say negotiations properly. Could you update us on the Bobby Ryan situation? Let's just try that.
Yeah, evidently they've had trouble pronouncing the word negotiations, too, each side.
Thanks for saving me there.
No problem. Hey, you know what? There were reports in the media earlier this week that the sides were going to talk again this week. There's been maybe a cooling off period here in recent weeks where there really hasn't been any communication, or at least not substantive talks, and supposedly they were going to talk this week. And you know, everybody here is kind of up in arms over this matter because they're concerned that there won't be a deal done. Personally, I think it's all just part of the process, part of the negotiating, part of the tactics that each side uses. Bobby Ryan, I think, wants a shorter term deal than the Ducks want to give him, because if the Ducks are going to give him relatively big money, which certainly he's going to get, they want to tie up his rights for a longer period of time. The only question really is when the deal will get done. It's going to get done. The Ducks are not going to trade Bobby Ryan. Bob Murray has been adamant about that. So the question is, do they get the deal done before training camp begins, or does Bobby Ryan miss some or all of training camp because of his contract situation? And I think that's something that neither side wants. So my hunch is they get it done sometime before camp begins. Whether that's a matter of weeks, days, or hours, we'll have to wait and see.
You know, when it comes to the negotiations, Dan, what's interesting to me is Ryan's leverage, in that the Ducks signed Getzlaff and Perry to long-term deals at very reasonable salaries, really, considering all the salaries you see these days. I mean, they haven't locked up at very reasonable prices. It, you know, going by the old Lidstrom rule in Detroit, nobody should make as much as Getzlaff. So how much is Ryan asking for, realistically?
Bobby Ryan has gone on record very early in this process as saying that he did not want or expect to make more money than Ryan Getzlaff and Corey Perry. In fact, I don't think Bobby Ryan necessarily expects to make as much money as Getzlaff and Perry, but certainly something in the neighborhood. And the thing that would be pointed out from the Ducks side is that Ryan Getzlaff and Corey Perry did contribute to a Stanley Cup championship team. Bobby Ryan has not yet done that. Certainly Bobby Ryan is an attractive player, a productive player, one the Ducks very definitely want to have. My guess is he's going to come in at a little bit less than Getzlaff and Perry make. The whole question is going to be term. Is it going to be 3 years that Bobby Ryan wants so he becomes an unrestricted free agent at that point? Or will it be longer like the Ducks want so that they secure his services a bit longer? And the key thing here, guys, is Getzlaff and Perry, each of their contracts is up after 3 years. The Ducks do not want Bobby Ryan on a three-year deal where all three of those guys are up at the same time.
We're joined here on the Legal Curve radio show by Dan Wood of the Anaheim Ducks Radio Network. Dan, you know, the one thing that seems just, it doesn't happen very often anymore, is the prospect of a team signing him to an offer sheet. Is that, you know, are the Ducks worried about that at all?
Well, I think there was some concern. At this late juncture of the offseason, it seems to me that if that were going to happen, it would already have happened. It's kind of hard for me to imagine that 2.5 weeks away from training camp, someone is going to be as unsettled with their team and their salary situation that they're going to, you know, make an offer to Bobby Ryan. If a team did, Ducks general manager Bob Murray has gone on record saying that he would match any offer. The Ducks certainly have ample salary cap space. They're not in a situation like they were when they lost Dustin Penner to Edmonton, an offer sheet from the Oilers in 2007. And I think the Ducks have, you know, done that on purpose. They did not want to be vulnerable to an offer sheet. Once they get the Bobby Ryan deal done, then conceivably the Ducks can play with a little bit of that salary cap space to try to acquire another player. And anyone who follows this team would probably tell you that they'd like to see the Ducks acquire another defenseman, another established defenseman. So I think whether that happens before the season or perhaps at some point during the season, you might watch for that.
Leads us right very well into our next question, Dan, and that is the defense. You look at the forwards, there's a lot of scoring depth up there, a lot of guys who can do a lot of different things. You have one of the best goaltenders in the National Hockey League, for my money, in Hiller. So you look at the back end, and you know, aside from Bersnovsky, Lidman, and then even kind of reaching at Sutton, there's not much depth there. And I know maybe they're possibly going to hope that Cam Fowler can kind of jump in, and that might be a reach as well. What do you see them doing? I mean, it seems like there's a serious need on the back end. Do you see them addressing that prior to training camp or the beginning, you know, right near the beginning of the season?
Well, I couldn't have said it better myself. I think there is a pressing need. And, again, they didn't want to put themselves in a vulnerable position with regard to the salary cap because of Bobby Ryan. And I think maybe that's part of the reason that they haven't filled out their blue line core, so to speak. I think they realize that they need another established guy to play in the top four. And, you know, it's getting late early, as Yogi Berra might say. I don't know that that's going to happen now before training camp or perhaps not even before the beginning of the season. Although, you know, you look to New Jersey and the whole Kovalchuk situation, maybe some other teams that might be a little bit under the gun with regard to the cap. There could still be some good players move between now and the beginning of the season. I think the Ducks, like a lot of teams, will be on the lookout for that. But there's no question they need another defenseman. I mean, Cam Fowler, can he play in the league at 18 years old and play a big role? I think that's an awful lot to ask. The one guy that the Ducks are undoubtedly hoping will step up is Luca Spezza, who played with the Flyers previously, was here for a bit last season. I think he's going to be in the top six. The question is, can you realistically expect him to be in the top four,
right,
joining Vyshnovsky and Sutton and Ludman? Ideally, yeah, Luca Spezza steps up. Otherwise, you know, the rest of the guys they have, Sheldon Brookbank, who's very valuable in his role, guys like Brendan Mickelson and Brett Festerling, you know, I don't think they're top four guys, at least not at this point in their careers. So it's definitely a situation that bears watching.
We wanted to quickly ask you here about Coach Randy Carlyle, who obviously is very popular here in Winnipeg because of his time with the Jets and the fact, you know, that he coached the Moose most recently before going to the NHL. Do you think this is a make or break year for him? And, you know, as a question that goes with that, do you think his job is in trouble if they struggle early?
Well, I think it's a make or break year for a lot of people. You know, this franchise had become accustomed not only to making the playoffs, but usually going pretty deep into the playoffs since the ownership change when Henry and Susan Samueli bought the team after the lockout. And obviously last year was a big disappointment to not even get into the playoffs. So I think the pressure's on a lot of people. I think Randy Carlyle certainly is in that mix. I think the players, you know, most notably a guy like Ryan Getzlaf, who largely because of injuries, I believe, did not have the season last year that he had had previously, and really everyone. I mean, you pick a name on this team or in this organization. I mean, anybody, Jonas Hiller, Bob Murray, who knows, maybe even the broadcasters. I mean, it's a big year for everybody.
Dan, there shouldn't be any concern there, though.
Yeah, the broadcasters, I think, are on solid footing. At least from our perspective, they're on solid footing.
Well, let's hope.
Let's hope is right.
You know, one of the... I mean, it's a strange situation. It's a sad situation to some respects, and that's the Joffrey Leupold situation. I mean, we read he's not going to be healthy for training camp. You know, is the team really counting on him for anything this year, or is it just a situation at this point where anything he does provide is a bonus?
Well, I can tell you this much. The Ducks would love to be counting on Joffrey Leupold, but unfortunately they simply are not able to do that. No one knows, including Joffrey Leupold, what his situation is going to be, when and if he is going to become healthy. The Ducks still believe that he will overcome these obstacles, the back surgery and, you know, the problem he had subsequently with some kind of an infection. But he's not going to be ready at the outset of training camp. There's hardly any chance he would be ready at the beginning of the season. So I think it's a situation, kind of like you said, where anything he might be able to provide would be gravy. And the Ducks certainly could use him. They want to try to have three lines that are capable of scoring. And you figure if you've got Getzlaf, Perry on a line, maybe Ryan and Solani on a line, maybe Koivu with somebody, you certainly could slot Joffrey Leupold in there just like you could have slotted Paul Kariya in there conceivably. That's the goal, is to get three solid lines that can score. And, you know, we all have to hope Joffrey Leupold comes back healthy. And just like with Paul Kariya, the main thing is getting him healthy, then getting him back on the ice.
Final question for you here, Dan. And there's much made about during that hockey summit last week about the Olympics and the NHL's participation in the Olympics. And, you know, we obviously know how much it means to, you know, fans in every country. But I wanted to ask you directly about the Ducks. In terms of Ryan Getzlaf, and we alluded to it last week, it being similar situation to Steve Yzerman in 2002, it was Getzlaf in 2010. I mean, he was clearly playing in the Olympics. He was clearly playing injured. If you'd seen him play in, you know, at his best the playoffs prior against Detroit, he clearly wasn't that same player in the Olympics, although he was trying his best to be that. Does Bob Murray and the ownership and the coaches... Do they have concerns and maybe moving forward in terms of Olympic participation for NHL players because of things like that, like Getzlaf playing through an injury and then coming back and really being even worse condition than he was before going to the Olympics?
Well, there's no question that that bit the Ducks big time last season, because if you recall, they came out of the Olympic break and they had fought their way into position to challenge for a playoff spot. Then they went 0-4-1 in their first five games after the break, and that was pretty much it. You know, I think every team has that concern, every general manager, every owner. And there can be no better example than Ryan Getzlaf last season. Had he not played in the Olympics, had he gotten the ankle well, had he been able to come out strong after the break, I mean, who knows? Maybe the Ducks do make the playoffs. But you can hardly blame Ryan Getzlaf for wanting to play in the Olympics, not to mention the pressure that was on him in Canada to suit up and come through for his country, which he did, as you pointed out, at less than 100%. So it's a tough call. What they do with that going forward, I don't know. But it's hard for everyone involved, I think.
Dan Wood of the Anaheim Ducks Radio Network, thanks very much for joining us yet again here on the Illegal Curve Radio Show.
Anytime, guys. Have a good show.
You too. Thanks, Dan. Thanks very much. Yeah. You know, Dan, I'll tell you one thing about Dan. He's very honest.
Very honest.
Tells you what he, you know. Tells you what he knows.
One of my favorite guests. I mean, that's, yeah. You guys know that, bar none. Well-spoken, informed, always willing to give his time. And the Ducks are an interesting team with, first of all, the amount of star power they have on the squad, guys. I mean, as I've been on the show many times talking about how good Ryan Getzlaf is. But you toss in Ryan Getzlaf, you still toss in a more than productive Teemu Selanne. You talk about Saku Koivu, who's still producing. Corey Perry, one of the great players in the game. Bobby Ryan. I mean, yeah, that's a lot of offense. And you know the thing about that? That's all-time hockey offense, guys. Those are three power forwards. Those three guys who like to go into the corners. Three guys who can put the puck in the back of the net. Three guys who aren't afraid to throw around their body a bit. And, you know, you add in a defenseman there. You add in one defenseman, guys. And you become a scary team. Now, not a team that's in the top four, even six, really, in the Western Conference. But you become a team that nobody wants to play because Jonas Hiller is one of the best goalies in the National Hockey League.
He can steal you things.
Without that, and he mentioned Lucas Pisa, which is a great reference. Lucas Pisa was in the Pronger trade, guys. So
yeah,
he came back.
So, I mean,
and the Ducks have been drafting, so they're going to get some players coming in here now because they got the first-round picks for Pronger. Fowler fell to them. But Fowler's not physically mature right now, yeah. Especially for the kind of system that that Randy Carlyle plays. Very physical team. Puck movers... obviously are useful, but he's going to want a certain physical toughness, and Cam Fowler's not physically mature enough.
I think they'd be throwing him to the Wolves too soon.
They would, and they'd also be throwing in an entry level year in there, and wasting a year. Think about it, if that is the case, and they do that, and he mentioned the salary cap issues, then Cam Fowler's third year would be up exactly when Corey Perry, Ryan Getzlaf, and Lupo would be up. And Lupo probably won't resign for the kind of money he has now, but Getzlaf and Perry will be due probably more money. So do you want to have another guy on there who's due at the same time? You probably hold him back a year, maybe just because of that. There's a lot of factors that go into it, but the Ducks are an interesting case this year, and they're going to be interesting to watch moving forward.
Well, Richie, I think you're onto something there, too. You mentioned defensemen and physicality, and I think that this team needs to toughen up. When they won the Stanley Cup... You know, a lot of people pointed out to Brad May and how, you know, Brad May, you know, basically at that stage in his career was just a fighter. And, you know, a lot of people have mentioned George Parros, and even though he doesn't pop in a lot of goals,
the
style they play. And I think the last couple of years, I think injuries really hurt them last year.
Totally.
I know that a lot of teams were affected by injuries last year.
They were a team,
though, that didn't have the depth to deal with it, especially they do have a lot of depth on forward, but they don't have the farm system.
You mean scoring depth, but not depth in numbers,
right?
And that's what hurt them, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you got guy, you got the if you have to bump guys
as
up on lines.
Ezzy makes a really good point there. I mean, the top six is great, but after that, there's a little bit of issue.
That's right.
So,
I mean, that's where the
you know,
problem
guys like Ryan Carter and guys like that just really haven't become the players that they thought they'd become, and there is a potential there, but. Todd Marchand's obviously.
Well, this is another guy that is familiar to Winnipeggers is Sexton. He's another guy
that moose for a bit. He came out of nowhere and he was
on the moose. And he's another guy that he's gonna have to step it up a little bit. Like a lot of rookies are gonna have to step it up in the NHL this year. But if guys like that step up, I can't see the Ducks not making the playoffs this year.
They're a team. I have a article coming out in the.
Here comes Richard's shameless self-promotion again, folks. It's time for our weekly segment.
Right. Hey, Drew, you call it shameless. I think of it as a friend doing well. So
we need to create an audio clip for Richard's shameless self-promotion.
I want to tell all the chicks at the bar tonight that Richie writes for ESPN.
It wasn't for
that. Not that he writes for them. It's just that you know Richard Pollock. That should do it enough for you there.
In the Puck Prospectus book, which I actually believe is being changed to Hockey Prospectus, as the name change is going to be. Taking place soon. But the article was, and I spoke about it before, was that my whole article was about the argument for a balanced schedule. And one of the teams that was hindered by the balanced schedule issue last year, by the fact they played so many games in the division against Phoenix, San Jose, and LA, was Anaheim. And if they had played against some of the
weak
poor
sisters.
Teams in, say, the Northwest, Anaheim would have been in the playoffs last year, guys. And who knows?
Anaheim couldn't beat teams in their own division. Phoenix was really giving them a hard time last year.
That's right. And they were good teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it'll be an interesting year in Anaheim, and I'm sure we'll get Dan on.
I can say I know Drew Mandel.
There you go, exactly. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 Kick FM.
Hi, I'm Kenny, host of the K Show, heard Sundays from noon to 2 here on Kick FM, and I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize. Sometimes the K Show can be insensitive, sometimes politically incorrect, and sometimes, well, it's in bad taste. For this, I'm sorry. The Kenny Show should always be insensitive, always be politically incorrect, and always in bad taste. After all, real opinions about real world issues usually are. So join me Sundays from noon to 2 on Winnipeg's Indie Station 92.9 Kick FM for the stories you want to talk about the way you want to talk about them. That's the Kenny
Show.
This
is an important message for Manitoba drivers. Effective July 15th, you'll have to put down your handheld cell phone. And if there are children in your car, put out your cigarette. That's because changes to the Highway Traffic Act become law on July 15th. Once these changes take effect, if you talk, text, or email using a handheld cell phone or smartphone while you're driving, or smoke in the car with children under age 16 present, you'll be breaking the law. For more information, visit manitoba.ca. A message from the Manitoba government.
The Kick All Request Hour. Hi, I'm Denise, and I'll be taking your requests every Thursday from 3 to 4 at 780-KICK. That's 780-5425. This is your chance to hear what you want to hear. This. Hey! I just kick. It's a or that.
I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes.
Or maybe you're more in the mood for this. Every Thursday from 3 to 4, right before the Great Canadian Talk Show, on Winnipeg's Indie Station, 92.9 Kick FM.
Every Monday, the Great Canadian Talk Show talks sports. Frank the Italian Barber.
That coach should be fired. I'm a better goalie than that.
He should be sitting on the bench.
That's why they need a little trip.
Don't miss us every Monday.
I'll be here every Monday, that's for sure.
And I may suggest this, that the children out there watching, they don't apply this to one another because it could cause permanent brain damage. Same goes for the old ladies and everybody else out there that it's nothing to play with.
5:15 on the Great Canadian Talk Show on 92.9 Kick FM.
Here on 92.9 Kick FM, you just heard from Dan Wood of the Anaheim Ducks. Now we're going to talk about all the different signings from around the NHL. Of course, if you want to get your 2 cents in, 780-KICK, 780-5425. Area code 204 in front of that if you want to talk
Denise,
about that.
Denise, your piece of cake is coming up. Hold on.
Ezzy will probably not be that available for this segment right now. He's cutting the cake.
Why don't you explain why Ezzy brought a cake today?
Ezzy did bring a cake, and the reason is last week, even though she wasn't here, but that's okay.
She bailed on us last week.
Week was Denise's it's 1 year opping this show, so of course we have
for
to celebrate
good
with
reason.
Cake.
Never eat a taco that has guacamole in it.
What? Yeah. That's all I eat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, imagine a bad avocado would be trouble, but that's okay. But I don't know. Anyway, so Denise wasn't here last week, but she's back this week, so we're going to celebrate with cake. So cake for everyone. Anyways, welcome back. Let's start with. Should we start with the San Jose Sharks?
Drew, why don't you start with the bite?
Why? Because Ezzy's still cutting the cake. I haven't got to that part
okay,
yet.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I'll start with the Sharks.
Okay, San Jose Sharks. They signed unrestricted free agent goaltender, ex of the Chicago Blackhawks, Antti Niemi. 1 year, $2 million. Richard, you were gloating, and we don't actually have the clip up, unfortunately, but you were correct.
I wasn't gloating. All I was saying.
You were
saying,
correct. You were correct.
You. That's all I was saying. Yeah, throw it in my face.
In that, no, you were correct in that San Jose was the logical destination for Niemi, and it came to fruition. Well, give me your thoughts on
that. Well, that makes a lot of sense, Drew. I mean, Thomas Greiss isn't anything to write home about. You're going to put your stock in Antti Niemi, who's a guy who hasn't played, I think, over 53 games of the National League, you know, season before. Got some tunes there for a second. We haven't played that many games in the NHL. He has some knee injuries before in his career. He's a talented netminder, and he's had his spurts, but you can't trust him for an entire season. And what you do is you compliment him. You compliment him with another guy who hasn't played a lot of games in the National Hockey League. And Niemi's got talent. Is he amazing? No. Is Ninamaki amazing? No. But if you split them together, they're two Finnish netminders. Speak the language. Probably familiar with each other and through both being Finnish and through the national team and things like that. So I see this as being a positive option for them. And you're pulling in a guy also who knows a lot about the Chicago Blackhawks. Not that that becomes a huge issue, but if you're battling them in the playoffs, it doesn't hurt. But all in all, he adds an improvement. At the end of the day, he's better than Thomas Greiss. So your team gets better. You're on a one-year deal. There's no risk in a one-year deal. The risk is money. You have cap room. You pay him $2 million. Logical. Doug Wilson, smart guy. Good move.
Look, the guy, and what is the one thing that you haven't had the entire time when you're San Jose, and that's a goaltender you could trust to go deep in the playoffs.
And who knows?
And a guy who knows how to win in the playoffs.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if Niemi knows how to win, because he certainly doesn't have a track record aside from that last year.
He won.
We know one time. But we know one thing. We have a better track record of Evgeny Nabokov, and he didn't know how to win.
Exactly.
So that much is... We can't say that Niemi knows how to win. He's won once. He hasn't done it again. He's only played 40 games in the playoffs. So he can... You know, it's like saying... You know, I don't think you can say that, but you can say... that Nabokov didn't prove it. So this is at least another option. Whether it's a better option or not, we'll see. But it is another option.
Phoenix Coyotes re-signed unrestricted free agent Lee Stempniak. 2 years, $3.8 million.
Fine. His play when he got to Phoenix was over his head. His play in Toronto, a little bit more in line with his abilities, but probably a little bit below what he is capable of. So, you know, you put that out to 2 years, and it's below $2 million a year. And when the minimum is $500,000 in a winger that you hope can play second or third line and toss in 20 goals, fine with that. He'll bring positive production to the team. You know, he's got a pretty good shot. He doesn't have the best hands. He doesn't have the best hockey sense, but he's a productive winger in the National Hockey League. You know, on a really good team. I don't know where he fits in as much, but this team is a team that's younger too, so he helps.
Here's the question I have. Or somebody on Twitter said that. If he continues to play like he played in Phoenix last year, it is an indictment of Ron Wilson and his system.
No, because if you watched him play in St. Louis before that, he was never the player that he was in Phoenix. So I think that's a little bit over the top.
Okay, that's fair. New York Rangers, the sort of
cake is quite delicious.
Is it a good cake? I'm waiting for mine. He's doing a fabulous job.
Like the crust.
I just got my piece of cake, so I'm going to put that to the side for a couple seconds. Anyways, the New York Rangers have finally provided a landing spot for unrestricted free agent Tim Kennedy. They signed him to a 1 year, $550,000 contract. Earlier in the offseason, he made $333,000 when he was bought out by Buffalo.
Yep.
An odd saga all along.
It was a personal issue there.
It really does seem. At first, the reports were that Buffalo wanted to sign him to a two-way contract. And then reports came out earlier this week, that wasn't the case. That, you know, it really just was a personality clash.
Yeah, it was.
And, I mean, what do you think? What do you think about Kennedy with the Rangers?
You know, when you're a team like the Rangers and you could use some forward help, because I like their young defense and obviously love their goaltending, you could add a young forward with some offensive talent, with some pretty good hands, at under $1 million, and you don't give up anything for him, what's the downside? Good signing. Good move. Nothing wrong with it. You know, what's the worst that can happen? He plays poorly, you get rid of him. What's the loss, guys? Again, there's no risk for the Rangers there.
Okay. We're joined, for those of you who are watching us on Ustream,
we're joined by a cake.
Well, we're joined by a cake, of course. But for those of you who are watching us on Ustream, there's been a devilishly handsome individual sitting next to Richard. That is our good friend Adam Gutkin. He was a former writer on the Legal Curve website, legalcurve.com. He's back.
That's
in
why he looked familiar. I was like, where have I seen this guy before?
That was in jail.
Yeah, Hart's an H-bomb is trying to angle the camera towards him so you can see his...
So you can see Drew's cake.
No, my cake is the same as everybody else's cake, so don't make it out to seem like this is anything different for me. Anyways, Adam is joining us in town from Toronto. So, you know, these next two topics, I'm sure, are near and dear to his heart. But the Maple Leafs, you know, our long national nightmare is over. The Maple Leafs have signed Christian Hansen to a one-year $650,000 deal. And before that, earlier in the week, they signed Clark MacArthur to a one-year $1.1 million deal. Your thoughts on both of the signings?
Okay. Well, is it next year's draft for the Leafs yet? Well, they first pick, right? First pick next year. Christian Hansen is much ado about very little in terms of, you know, he's going to be a checking line center. He's a big guy. He's got a pretty big body. I'm checking his numbers from last year, but I believe it took him like 90 games to score his first goal. And last year he had 2 goals for the Maple Leafs in 31 games. 7 points. If he could turn out to be a nice, solid third line center who could play against some tough competition, be pretty physical, and cover his own net and play in his own zone pretty well, then that would be good for them. I mean, again, it's blown out of proportion because it's Christian Hansen. He can be a potential guy who can be a 6'4", 228 pounds. He's a big guy, so he can be an asset. But let's not get overblow the significance of his re-signing. In terms of, and he was never going to go anywhere, so really it's not that big of a deal. In terms of Clark MacArthur, you're adding a player again for little. You're adding him for his final number was 1.1?
Yes. 1.1 million. He became a UFA after Atlanta walked away from his arbitration.
And as you can see by his signing with the Leafs, clearly Atlanta made the right decision in terms of his value. Now, the arbitrator's awards are a little bit crazy. Niemi signs for $2 million, arbitrator award at $2.8 million. MacArthur signs for $1.1 million, the arbitrator...
$2.4 million.
Arbitrator award $2.4 million. Kennedy signed for $770 million, the arbitrator awarded $1.1 million, or something, I think it was $1.1 million. So all the situations, arbitrators...
Kennedy signed for $550 million.
For $550 million, but he's booked the $330 million.
That's paid by the Sabres.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So the salaries are not really in line with the arbitrators. Maybe they should fix that system. But in any event, MacArthur can be a valuable asset, or at least a better asset than the Leafs have, on the power play. You know, you throw him on the power play there, maybe on the second unit, because you have a pretty good first unit, and he can add into the offense, and if he adds in some points on the power play, he comes at a reasonable salary. He's got pretty good hands, guys. He's not a bad skater. He can move the puck pretty well. I mean, you add this guy without giving anything up. I like the move there by Burke. I think that's a good move. Let's not say it's the best move. It's an amazing move, but I think you will watch games next year where you're like, you know, that's a good addition, and he's young. I think he's 25.
That just seems like a reasonable addition. Exactly right. I mean, you know, he might instantly become their best forward. I'm not 100% sure, but, you know,
possible.
It says a lot about the Leafs this year. It just seems that, again, like you've been saying, really all of these signings that we've gone through, when you sign a one-year deal, there's no risk. But what's really stripping out of me, I mean, the NHL minimum is $550,000. Sorry, $500,000. Mm-hmm. These guys are, you know, for the most part, you know, Niemi, Stempniak, MacArthur are really bona fide NHLers. They are established. They're not fringe guys who can bounce back and forth. They're going to be NHL players. These guys are signing for really minimal money over the salary cap. And, I mean, it's just there's just such a void of that mid-level.
That's right. We talked about that with the call-up 2 weeks ago. And also you're talking about goaltending has really gotten squeezed out of the market the past year. That will correct itself, and then I think people will start undervaluing goaltenders, and then the people will find where the value is. Right now, people are currently the general managers are currently understanding that there's an influx and there's an overload of goaltenders and quality goaltenders in the National Hockey League. And telling the difference between a good one and a bad one is very difficult, especially season to season. So they're not putting too much money in there. But at the same time, if a guy like Henrik Lundqvist or Roberto Luongo did come on the market today,
people are going to go after.
So the best players still get their money.
Yeah, but the best players get their money, and everybody else is really fighting for scraps.
Yeah, that's true.
It's so it's different. It used to be mid-level guys are making way over. For a long time they were getting more money than they deserved. Now it seems like they're even getting undercut.
Maybe
in the market, but that's the market will establish itself. I mean, well, it depends if are you an invisible hand person or are you a what's the other alternative?
Are you a Marxist, Drew?
I'm not a Marxist. I might be a Leninist, but I'm not a Marxist. Anyways, 204-780-KICK, 780-5425 if you have anything you want to talk about regarding signings. Another signing, the Dallas Stars signed their restricted free agent defenseman Nicklas Grossman to a two-year, $3.25 million contract. Richard.
You know, this is not very much money. You're paying about 1.75 a year? Or
1.6 and change.
He hasn't come along as much as they would like, so that's why you give him a two-year deal. You don't give him a deal that's longer. You hope that he comes into his own. You know, a defenseman who hasn't really become the guy that you thought. And with his abilities 2 years ago, he played really solid. Played a really solid defensive game. He's not going to tear up the score sheet. Played a really solid defensive game, and he really fell off, and he's been kind of out of position, and you watch him a bit, and he certainly lacks confidence. And this is a player who can move, who can get in the way. If he can be a solid four defenseman, they'll be very happy with that. But right now, he is not. He hasn't really lived up to that consistently, and he hasn't always been in the lineup. So giving him that deal, you obviously see his talent, and you give him 2 years, and you give him a little bit of confidence, but you don't get too confident. You don't let him get a little bit complacent.
Sorry, let me just interrupt quickly. Scott Burnside of ESPN reports that the potential new buyer of the Phoenix Coyotes
is Ezra Ginsberg?
Is not Ezra Ginsberg. Is a guy named Matthew Hulsizer. He's the CEO of Peak Six Investments. He is a Chicago-based financier and a former collegiate hockey player. I'm just trying to find out.
Oh, have we heard about financiers who are former collegiate hockey players before?
Yeah, they were called Ice Edge Holdings, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But except Ice Edge was from where? New York, not Chicago?
Thunder Bay.
No,
oh, where's it based?
Where they're based. They were based, and they made their money on Wall Street, I believe, right?
Internet.
Internet. Anyways, this is apparently, you know, allegedly they're close to a deal. I mean, we've been hearing that, we've been hearing that all along, but who knows.
Well, make sure that that corporation's separate from his...
one source says he has an unbelievable financial mind. He's exactly the kind of the guy the league needs. He's a legitimate hockey guy with a lot of money. He dwarfs Jerry Reinsdorf when it comes to personal net worth. He's the real deal.
Who's that? Who said that?
An anonymous league source. Of course. You know, the anonymous league source may have been his mother, but we're not sure about that. But so apparently that's the name of the guy that is supposedly going to be the savior of the Phoenix Coyotes. One more time, that is Matthew Hulsizer, a CEO of Peak Six Investments out of Chicago. I'm not going to even ask you guys if you know anything about Peak Six Investments, because I'm sure none of us do. Maybe he's looking to foolishly spend his money.
He's not going to make money there. Maybe he wants a hockey team to lose money on and then sell it. I mean, guys, unless the finances change somehow, we're talking about the same old story again. It's a team that's going to lose a ton of money.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's in the final stages of negotiating a new arena lease agreement with the city of Glendale.
That could change things. Maybe that could change things.
Drew, what Richie's saying basically is, like, that would be like me investing in cassette tapes right now.
It would be.
That's what the Phoenix Coyotes in Phoenix are cassette tapes. They come to Winnipeg... It's like a blue disc. Or nice. even a 3D disc. It's like the future, man.
It's even a CD, for God's sake.
Yeah, CD even. Compact disc. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What was it? Mini discs. Weren't mini discs supposed to be the next wave?
Maybe that happens, Drew. Maybe that
happens. Mini disc never, ever even got close to catching on. It was like the 8-track of 1999.
Yeah, it never took off. I totally agree with you.
I had a mini disc player. It was kind of cool, but...
I still have one, actually.
Oh, really? Sony,
yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah.
Little Sony guy?
I got it from some guy in the UK, because I couldn't even buy one here.
When were you in the UK?
No, I, like, got it off eBay, and he was in the UK.
Okay.
But, yeah.
UK or UK?
UK.
East Kildonan?
No, yeah, East Kildonan. That's right.
I was there picking something
You're
up.
The best.
I'm not going to say what on air. But
And we're going to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 KICK FM.
This is 92.9 KICK FM.
CKIC FM, broadcasting live from Red River College in Winnipeg.
And at 104.7 on Shaw Cable FM.
92.9 KICK FM, Winnipeg's indie station.
Illegal cigarettes are becoming a problem in Manitoba. Their sale is adding up to huge losses in tax revenue. This revenue funds social programs such as health care and education. Legal cigarettes carry a gray tax-paid label or a gray tear opening strip. The ingredients are genuine and confirmed through quality control. There is no guarantee as to the contents of illegal cigarettes. Possession of illegal cigarettes will result in the forfeiture of the product, a mandatory 3x tax penalty, in addition to any court-administered action. Winnipeg Crime Stoppers is offering a cash reward for information leading to the recovery of illegal cigarettes or the arrest of any suspect in possession of these contraband products. If you have information on this or any other unsolved crime in Winnipeg, call Winnipeg Crime Stoppers at 786-TIPS or leave us a secure tip online at winnipegcrimestoppers.org. Or text TIP 170 plus your tip to Crimes. Callers never have to reveal their identity and may be eligible for a cash reward of up to $2,000.
McDonald Youth Services helps the children and young adults of Winnipeg for 365 days a year. Now, MYS is looking for 365 generous Winnipeggers. For only $18, you can help MYS feed the children in their care for a day. Help McDonald Youth Services help the children of Winnipeg. Please call 477-1722 to donate today.
Red River College puts its student safety first. To follow up on its Safe Walk program, RRC is launching a text message program called Campus Alerting System.
Hey, I just got a text. There's a situation at Red River College.
Don't miss out on instant alerts on campus closure, lockdown, or other related emergencies. Sign up for the Campus Alerting System and feel at ease knowing RRC wants you to be safe.
Where can I sign up for the college's campus alerting system?
To sign up, go to rrc.mb.ca. Achieve the future you want safely through Red River College.
There's no time like the present to reserve your keg of locally brewed goodness from Half Pints Brewing Company. Whether you're having a spur-of-the-moment barbecue or a fancy-pants party, we've got you covered. Half Pints has four different beers and three different sizes of kegs to choose from, starting for less than $50. Pick up the phone and call 832-PINT or go online to halfpintsbrewing.com and place your order. Half Pints Brewing Company. Think local. Drink local.
Shortly after the top of the hour, welcome back to the Legal Curve Radio Show here on 92.9 Kick FM. And, of course, all our friends who are joining us in the Ustream chat room, live audio, live video, ustream.tv/illegalcurve. Let's turn over to H-Bomb. H-Bomb, what's happening in the chat room tonight?
Well, first of all, Drew, I just have to say it's a pleasure to be here. And
welcome to the program. Your first time on air.
Don't give him a welcome.
Sorry, a welcome. You're doing a fine job monitoring the...
First time on the air, but a long-time caller.
That's right.
I must say, if for anyone who thinks the R-Desk's job is easy, this is not the case.
No.
The R-Desk is now officially called the H-Desk.
Yeah, that's right.
That is certainly not true. I'm filling in for Remus. He's out bearing his strength in the wilderness.
That's right.
But yeah.
We're not expecting him to return anytime soon.
No. Props to the R-Desk.
Well, and, he's set up a
Might see a little cheer later on today. I don't want to bring it up.
Oh, there you go. You got a cheer on
it. You can catch up. My cheers for Remus.
Oh.
Anyway.
Think of a new cheer in that case.
Oh, well, we'll get on that. Check us out. www.ustream.tv/illegalcurve. Join the chat. Lots of cool action going on in there. Also, check us out on Twitter. Legal Curve.
That's right.
Or on Facebook. I'm posting status updates. Come check us out for every segment.
Great.
And join in. I'll get your thoughts onto the air.
And we do encourage you to add Ezra as a friend on Facebook simply for the hilarity involved.
Yeah, now, what's going to happen first? As to note, Ezra has currently reached 2,000 plus friends.
I was just going to ask, what's going to happen first? Ezra gets 2,000 friends on Facebook or we get 1,000 followers on Twitter?
We had no chance in that competition.
No, well, I think we can still make the contest for 3,000 friends.
Yeah, Ezzy.
Just going back to Remus, though, for a second. When you said that he's battling the wilderness tonight, does that mean that he set up a tent in his home in Tuxedo? Or does
He like you, is on a canoe trip.
He's on a canoe trip in September?
He's on a canoe trip.
A little late, eh? Wow.
He's been on a long trip.
May not fall in the lake, though.
That's what he was doing in East Kildonan.
That's what doing ketamine will do to you.
Wow.
By the way, for people who don't know what ketamine is, that's a liquid tranquilizer for cats. And I'm on it right now.
I thought it was for horses.
It could be for horses, smaller horses, ponies.
I had a pony.
Wow. Cat, you can give
Sir
it to Drew.
I believe our next segment was.
Yes, it's time for Denise. Are you ready?
Yeah, I guess.
Art, it's good to have you here. Denise, how's the cake?
I got
it for you.
I know.
You might want to watch the cake. It's kind of spilling onto the...
Yeah, it's actually melting.
I noticed that it's starting to, like, melt.
You might want to maybe put a plate or something underneath that cake.
Okay, I'll get something going here.
Okay.
But, yeah, we're good.
Okay, Denise, it's time, and everybody else who's listening, it's time for NHL News and Notes.
NHL. NHL. News. And no.
Sticking in the supposedly, or the center of the universe, only in their own minds, in Toronto, the Maple Leafs made a minor deal this week. Mm-hmm. They acquired Matt Lashoff from the Lightning in exchange for Alex Barry and Stefano Gelati.
That's, whoa, Gelati? Hold on, that's not a minor move. Matt Lashoff is a solid defenseman. That's a big move for the Leafs. It's not quite as big as Clark MacArthur, but, I mean, that's a decent move. All jokes aside, though, Toronto's made some good moves.
Okay, let's talk about where he fits in on the blue line, because I just don't understand.
Of their dozen defensemen at this point in time.
Enough. Komisarek, that's two. Caberle is three, all making at least $4.2 million. Beauchemin's four, all making at least $3.8 million. Fingers five.
The cap hit is dropping.
Fingers five, although I might lose a finger if I actually consider him a regular defenseman. He's at $3.5 million. So that's five defensemen with a minimum cap hit of $3.5, and then Luke Shen, whose cap hit's $2.9. So you have six defensemen. The minimum they make is essentially $3 million. But let's trade for Matt, and let's sign Brett Lebda, and we have Carl Gunnarsson, and we have, you know, if you want to go the other prospects they have in the AHL, and then you bring in Matt Lassoff. Yeah, okay, that's going to be make a big difference. Let's add more defensemen.
Richie, I don't want to interrupt this serious analysis of the Leafs' defense, but I don't know if you guys noticed this, but indirectly, we have a new member of the food team, Stefano Gelati.
It's true, that's good, yes.
I think that's the most important thing here in this transaction.
It actually might be the most important thing in this transaction.
We have another player who is on the current NHL food team.
In case you missed it from a couple weeks ago, Ezra recapped from his youth when him and his dad made the all-NHL food team.
A little Steven Rice, some Adam Oates.
Yeah, a little rice, a little coffee, a little tacos.
Yeah. So now we're now working on updating the NHL food team, and you get to see how the NHL is broadening their horizons, becoming more ethnic with their food names on their players.
By the way,
Brett Lebda signing actually was a good one, but
that's not a food item.
He's going to replace Lebda. Replace
might be an ethnic stew. Sounds like an ethnic stew, doesn't it? Lebda,
and they might. Even finger in the minors, you brought in all these guys to have Matt Lau. You know, like
you could even stretch finger, chicken fingers, but there's two guys that were mentioned to me, Bob Beers and Kelly Buckberger. Were two other guys that you could throw in. Beers for sure, Buckberger, that's a little bit of a stretch. But let's get back to what everyone wants to hear about, and that's the Leafs defense.
780-KICK, 780-5425, area code 204 in front of that.
I'm just looking through the Leafs defense to see who isn't overpaid. I keep looking, and I can't find anybody.
Can you run down the Leafs, you know, their allegedly top 12 forwards? Maybe their top 9 forwards.
Okay, we'll do their top 9.
Okay. I could use a good laugh.
Phil Kessel's 1. Christopher Stieg is 2. Both viable top 9
both
forwards.
Okay, not
Cole
laughing.
Armstrong, 3, a viable top 9 forward. Grabowski, he's fine. Kuhlman really came on at the end of the year. MacArthur. Schustrom. And then you're going to throw in Bozak, who's a good player. And then I guess Hansen and Kadri and my grandmother.
Why doesn't Brian Burke just trade all of the Leafs for the upcoming Thunder Bay ECHL team?
And the problem is...
The problem is that you don't usually just roll three lines in the NHL.
I mean, the one positive is none of those players are over 28. That's a positive. They're on their downside.
That's true. They could still peak.
Yes.
They could still peak at 25 points this year.
Nazem Kadri is going to make the team this year, and they're going to expect, you know, like, a good, decent season out of him, but... I don't think in the Eastern Conference you've got enough size and scoring depth.
Honestly, though, they're really locked up. I mean, they have Colton Orr for another three more seasons, so they're really secure on the right side. No, but, you know, the Leafs, in all honesty, jokes aside, they have some talent in net. They have a defense that has some talent that could be good. Their offense isn't there. They're probably going to be almost assuredly going to be a lottery team again this year. And that lottery pick is going to go to Boston Bruins. What do you mean?
What happened there? They traded their first round pick for the next 8 years.
It's going to be another nightmarish season there. And by the way, I can tell you something also. Victor Stahlberg, the guy they traded Chicago in that deal, amongst others, is a good player. So my Chris Percy might be good, but if Stahlberg gets some time with one of those top three lines in Chicago, those numbers won't be as far apart as you might think.
With the depth they have in Toronto, they can afford to trade assets, young assets, and quality players like Victor Stahlberg.
Luckily for Sieg's 24, the problem is that he's already at his second deal, so he's at 3.03 a year. 3.083 a year, and that was part of that whole mix-up with Dale Talon. We won't talk about that now. Let's talk Mark Stahl.
Well, no, yes. But Torontonians know that there's a lot of depth in that concession area at the Air Canada Centre, so that's
if there's any good thing about Toronto fans is that they won't actually watch the game, so they won't know how bad their team is. So, you know, they got that going for them.
Comment from the man in the studio? A couple of his friends are listening to, our friends are listening to in Toronto, Matt Himmel amongst others, and I know he's going to be at the games leaving after the second period when they're down 4-0.
How's Matt doing, Rich?
Oh, he's great. He's great. One of the biggest fans of the show.
I don't know Matt.
But he'll be, leaving when it's 4-0 and they're against playing Nashville on a Tuesday night, and we're subject to it on TSN National.
National, exactly. Mark Stahl remains unsigned, Rangers defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
You like his game very much.
I love his game. He'll be on the Olympic team in 2014.
If there is an Olympic team.
Or a World Cup team. He will be on that team, I'm telling you right now. I will put money on that. Fake money.
Monopoly money.
I'm glad you clarified that.
Anyways, no, Mark Stahl is a terrific positional defenseman. He's very much like Lidstrom in that way. Gets in the right spots. Actually not afraid to engage in physical contact. Very good stick. Very active stick. Very smart defenseman. You can know he comes from a hockey family. Can move the puck out of the zone. Not the best offensive player in terms of the power play and things like that, but a terrific defenseman. This guy is arguably, I mean, you could argue with Lundqvist, Gavrik, and Stahl. You could argue who's the best player in that team, night in, night out. You can't let him go. You have to sign him. You have a terrible cap situation right now. You got to get him done. I mean, there's no excuses here, guys. You got to get him done.
Richie, being a Devils fan, I obviously try to read the least amount of Rangers news as I possibly can. But what have you heard about this? Why haven't they signed him yet?
Well, I mean, if you don't know the answer, the answer's always money, Ezzy. I mean, that's what it is here. I mean, they've locked up a lot of money in Wade Redden and Michael Roosevelt. And
two quality defensemen.
Five years ago. Yeah, he's right about that. And they had signed Dan Girardi to an extension last offseason, I believe, 3.3 a year. Dan Girardi's a game I actually like. The problem is with Dan Girardi is he didn't have a good season last year. So they have that. They locked up money in Gilroy. They have some nice young guys. Think about their young defense, and as much as the guys sometimes on offense, they really lack a really, really solid up-the-middle presence. But the young defense core that includes Matt Gilroy, a nice-looking player out of Boston College, can move the puck. Michael Delzotto skates like the wind, and he's a beautiful puck mover, a great skater. Delzotto and Gilroy provide some nice assets up on the back end, combined with Mark Stahl and Dan Girardi, and you're talking about a really nice young four core. The problem is you have to have all those guys signed, and well, Delzotto's on his entry level deal and he's cheap right now, and Girardi's signed for the next 4 years. You don't have Gilroy signed past next season, and you don't have Stahl signed for this season. That's when the issue of $11.5 million against the cap this year for Roosevelt and Redden really eats into your ability to plan for the future.
The sticking with Stahls.
Ooh.
Penguin center Jordan Stahl.
Ron McLean won't lose his day job after that one.
I never thought I was.
Did you see Ron at the golf this weekend?
I didn't see him at the course, no. But the golf this weekend, by the way, was fabulous.
I heard it was good.
We were there on Sunday. It was terrific.
Did you get Michelle Wee's autograph?
I didn't, but I was about half a step away from her.
Do you think that when she goes home to, where's she from?
Hawaii.
Do you think when she goes home to Hawaii, she says she was half a step from Drew Mandel?
I guarantee it. So she actually asks. Her family asks her if she got Drew Mandel's autograph. See, that's how it works.
I just want to know if Ezzy were to see Michelle Wee, would he just go Wee?
Definitely. Never thought of that.
As you saw us do that.
She got a hole in one, didn't she?
That was on Thursday.
First hole or first
Do you know where that reference comes from, though, Richie?
Where does it come from?
Ezzy, do you know where that reference
comes
from?
That's Apu from The Simpsons.
Oh, is it?
When he's alone in the Quickie Mart.
For like 26 hours straight.
He's working a 26-hour shift, and they catch him on security cam.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Drew's always been a Simpsons guy.
And that was also co-opted by Homer when he was banned from driving. He took like a scooter or something, and he was mad at Mo, so he was going to kill Mo. Or allegedly going to kill Mo, and he would go must kill Mo, and then he's on the scooter and goes wee must kill Mo wee. Anyways, Jordan Stahl is repairing or his having a surgically his he had a his right foot surgically repaired in the off season. Hasn't skated all off season. Has had some setbacks.
Mm-hmm.
How big is this for the Pittsburgh Penguins?
How big is it? Yeah. It's a significant injury, and I'll actually let Hart get on this in a second. He's a big Penguins fan, but they're really strong up the middle. They don't have any they lack a lot of depth on the wings. We talked about that at length here on this show. But the strength at the middle obviously goes hand-in-hand with Jordan Staal. And Jordan Staal is a very good, one of the best two-way centers in the National Hockey League, and he's a terrific penalty killer. He's a terrific passer, and he's a very good scorer, and he's big body, and he can do everything well. So not having him is going to hurt their two-way game significantly, and obviously, and also their offense, because they count on the third. They'll move him up sometimes to play top two lines, and they count on that offense and that two-way play. And if he can't play for a significant period of time, Penguins are going to be fine in the long run. But in the beginning of the year, they're going to lose points in the standings. And when they have to go into Washington or Philadelphia or wherever it may be in the second round, that's where they're going to have to pay.
Another issue that I see, Richie, is that if you look back on his first four seasons, 81 games played, 82 games played, 82 games played, and 82 mm-hmm. games played. Mm-hmm. This guy doesn't miss a game. Now, with this significant injury, who knows how he'll bounce back from it.
Right.
You know, he gets an average amount of ice time. Mm-hmm. You know, he's probably, like you said, second liner in terms of ice time, third liner on the Penguins because
right.
he's the center position. But he's going to have to play that more of a significant role because of the lack of wings.
That's
so
right.
Hopefully he'll be able to withstand this injury and not let anything long-term bog him down.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
I mean, as a Penguins fan this year, you're looking at your team's offseason and...
Penguins fans are every year, by the way. We don't just
that's
hop
right.
on...
I know that, but I'm talking about this year specifically. You're looking at their offseason, you're shrugging your shoulders and saying, what have we done?
Well, no, they had two great defensemen.
I know, but I'm talking about forward line.
The moves they knew they were going to lose Gonchar, and that's fine. Their moves on the back end were I liked. The one guy that I was a little bit upset with, I've always been a Pony fan, and they didn't bring Pony back. And he wasn't that great on... Toronto. And
that's Alexei Ponikarovsky, in case you don't know who Pony is.
Why didn't they bring him back, Richie? I mean, what?
Well, he really didn't mesh well at all with Dan Bylsma.
They need offense, and he gives you offense on the wings. He gives you a little physical play, you know, and that was one...
I was in favor of the acquisition, and it didn't end up well.
They don't have anyone to plug in there on the second line. They don't have many remnants of their team from 2 years ago, and that's fine. You've got the Talbots and the like, but you're not bringing Guerin back.
Right.
You've got Kunitz, who's your top winger,
right.
With Crosby, and I mean there's a move that has to happen there, or there has to be somebody coming in to training camp.
You have to sign them.
You got to give Crosby and Malkin their line mates.
They're not resigning Guerin is odd.
No, and they're talking about, I mean, Guerin skated today or is planning on getting a tryout with the Flyers.
Oh, really? I thought he might go back to the island.
He's a bum.
Because Wade re-signed, and I thought he might go back to the island.
He played in the island, dude.
Yep. I'll tell you why. There was a big story about how Guerin is a goal scorer. And
yes.
how at his age he's able to
score. 20 goals last year,
Hart. He's playing with Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
I could score. No, I couldn't. But, you know, a player better than me could score with Sidney Crosby.
Don't sell yourself short. You're the anchor on the illegal curve.
I think he's score 18.
Defense, hockey team.
Yeah, defensive.
That's
fuck
what he does.
We could go into depth about our team later, but no. Guerin plays with Sidney Crosby, and usually he's got a pretty strong support on the other
he's
wing.
He's a power play guy at this point in time, Hart. Almost exclusively a power play winger. A guy who doesn't skate as well. He once used to be a great skater and a power forward. He doesn't skate as well as he used to, and he certainly doesn't hit as much as he used to. So when your game is not, and we talked about it before in this game, it's a lot easier to age as a passer, in my opinion, than it is as a scorer. And Dougie Waite seems to be a more productive player even at his age. Considering who he's playing with and where the situation he's playing in, because he's a passer, not a scorer, and he's not really gonna fall short of expectations because expectations aren't as high. But also, I mean, it's a lot easier to make. You know, there's two assists and one goal in this game, right?
Yeah.
So,
the Florida Panthers are set to tarp over 2,000 upper level seats for most of the upcoming season.
You're just setting us up for a
year
right now.
Is this the new Coyotes?
I'm not setting up for anything. I mean, it's a legitimate.
What's
interesting, though, is they're drawing attention to these seats by putting advertisements on.
Okay, hold on. Let's get real for a second. The symbolism is obvious here, okay? They're tarping over seats. They're trying to cover up the fact that their team is horrible. Come on. They're tarping. Why can't they just leave the seats? What happened to the curtain? Can they not just put up a little curtain? A tarp? What is this? A baseball stadium? Is it raining outside?
Is it a rain delay?
Should they put paper bags on every seat? I mean, come on, like that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I actually like the way
that's absolutely ridiculous.
In terms of Dale Talon being hired there. And
you've seen the tarp? Is it a nice tarp?
I heard the tarp is one of the best tarps I've ever seen in my life.
It's sponsored by Party Time.
Well,
it is not sponsored.
So is Ezra, by the
way.
Hold on,
is the tarp actually sponsored?
Yes, there's advertisements on the tarp. They're drawing attention to the fact that they're tarping over seats.
Well, Drew, what they're doing is making
money. Wow, well, I understand that. I mean, I understand what they're doing, but I mean, they're also drawing attention to the fact that they're going to have big empty. Granted, they could probably tarp over their most of their lower bowl, except for when the Habs are in town, but that's a separate issue altogether.
Are they going to clean the ice with a hose instead of a Zamboni as well to cut some costs? Okay.
The team on defense, they have a bunch of good young assets who are going to be moving forward. Kulikov, Gudbrandsson, and Keaton Ellerbe there. They have some nice core young forwards, but they're not there yet. And they're going to probably trade Vokoun this year. So there's a lot going to happen in Florida this year, a new ownership. So they're moving in the right direction, but I guess this is a way to make money on seats that they wouldn't sell.
Okay, let's leave it there. That's the end of NHL News and Notes. When we come back, because David Staples is coming up at 8:40, we're doing Rapid Fire 20 minutes early. So coming up, it's everybody's favorite segment. It's Rapid Fire. Stay with us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show, live on 92.9 KICK FM.
This is the sound of safety. It's a vehicle alcohol interlock. It measures alcohol in a driver's breath. If it finds any, the car won't start, and someone, somewhere, won't be in danger. We're Mad Canada, and we believe people convicted of impaired driving should have an alcohol interlock in their cars. Yes, it's an inconvenience, but death is final. Change for the better. Mad Canada, helping the victim, stopping the crime.
You're listening to 92.9 KICK FM, and you're not alone.
Thousands of people just like you tune in for the freshest new and local music in town, cutting-edge talk and analysis programs, and the best and brightest up-and-coming young broadcasters.
Advertising your business, services, and causes supports the station and keeps our programs on the air.
Email sales at kick.fm or call 997-6234, and we'll help you get your message out to your customers. On 92.9 KICK FM, Winnipeg's Indie Station.
Nighttime radio in Winnipeg never sounded so good. Tune in every Monday to Thursday night at 11 to catch the alternative news and analysis you may have missed on Winnipeg's most influential drive-home show, The Great Canadian Talk Show. That's right, replays of the radio program everybody is talking about four nights a week at 11 p.m. on Winnipeg's Indie Station 92.9 KICK FM. Don't you dare miss it!
The world of sports gets full coverage on the Great Canadian Talk Show every week.
Every Monday, 5:20, Frank the Italian Barber tells you which coach should be fired, which player should be benched, and who needs a little trim.
On Wednesdays at 5:20, you'll hear a preview of the Illegal Curve Radio Show, Canada's best hockey coverage, which airs for 2 hours starting at 7 p.m. every Wednesday on 92.9 KICK FM.
And every Friday at 5:20, John Walton of Slam Sports previews all the weekend sports action.
A unique look at sports three times a week on TGCTF.
Welcome back to the Legal Curve Radio Show. Sort of died out there real quick there.
Yeah, what happened?
Now the camera's on an empty chair, where Ezra just
vacated
the seat again.
When are they here?
I think in a couple weeks. I'm not 100% sure. I'm considering.
Arcade Fire? Yeah. I don't know. The internet here is weird. It's wonky.
Wonky?
Yeah.
No, that's no good. I saw Arcade Fire. They opened for U2 when I saw U2 in Ottawa, actually.
Really? Cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty good combo.
Yeah, it was a good combo. Arcade Fire wasn't as well known back then, at least to me. And you know how in tune I am with the mainstream music scene.
I guess so.
Which is to say, not at all. Anyways, Denise, it's time for Rapid Fire. Maybe.
Maybe not. Denise.
Okay, maybe not. It's coming slowly.
Unless you want to hear Arcade Fire on top of it.
Denise doing her best impression.
No, I don't.
Drew from last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the wonky. We'll blame it on Rapid Fire. Thomas Caverly.
Oh, my God. You got to get rid of the salary.
Terry Miller and Randy Gillen.
Is this career threatening at this point?
Drew, I'm with you.
Bobby Ryan.
He wants a lot of money.
It's about money.
Edmonton Oilers.
The lack of foresight.
Patrick Hornquist.
He's strong on the pack.
Mumford and Sons.
Jody Shelley.
He's an up-and-comer.
An injury-prone player.
Rapid Fire.
Andre Zubarev.
He is what he is.
Drew's had a tough shot.
Yodelay.
True, can he never do that on the show again?
I should really stop doing peyote before the show starts.
Actually, that was pretty good.
The yodeling was good.
Remus did that one?
Yeah, Remus did that one.
You
know. Oh, it's all the R-Desk.
Did you do that from out in the wilderness?
I think he used smoke signals to get it onto the air.
Yeah, he's passengering. He's not actually paddling.
That's true. He's a passenger for sure.
Definitely. Rapid fire, first topic here. Phoenix Coyotes captain Shane Doan and sleazy member of parliament.
Now, I don't know anything about this guy, Drew, so I guess you're putting an editorial comment there that he's sleazy.
He is sleazy. Okay. Google his name and you would be cursing his name loud.
I really like Shane Doan, so I'll tell you that.
Phoenix Coyotes captain Shane Doan and sleazy member of Canadian parliament Denis Coderre settled their defamation suit against one another with an out-of-court settlement. Terms of the settlement were not released. Considering this suit has been in the works since 2006, do you even remember what the court case was about?
I'll chime in right here real quick. I do remember this. It was before... No, hold on. Was it before the World Cup of Hockey in 2004?
No.
When was it? When did this incident happen?
I thought it was exactly then.
I think it was before the World Cup of Hockey.
And they didn't want him on the team. Yeah.
I think what happened was during that season, Drew, the lockout season, remember, because the World Cup was before the lockout.
No, it was right before the lockout.
Remember, Denis Coderre went public with the news that two French-Canadian officials said that Doan said something derogatory to them in English about them being French. I forget what they
you're
accused
on the
him.
Right, you're on
I
the right
I forget
track.
What they accused him of saying, and he denied it, and everyone supported it. I remember at the time, Shane Doan broke in with the Jets, and I believe his parents live in Winnipeg still, right? Everyone supported him. He's a religious guy. He's very well-liked.
Good teammate,
and you hear a lot of good things about hockey players. He's one of the guys that you hear really good things about, and I was shocked at the time, and it basically came out that everyone stood up for him, and it turned out that nothing was said. They couldn't prove it was kind of hearsay.
You're right about the derogatory remarks towards French Canadians. What happened was is that I think the remarks were allegedly said in 2006. But
before the Olympics.
Before the Olympics, but what happened was when Shane Doan was named to the Olympic team, Denis Coderre, who really is sleazy, don't get me wrong, he is sleazy, went on his soapbox and said, Doan shouldn't be on the team because he said bad things about French Canadians, which has never been proven at all. So anyways, I'm glad this issue is settled. I feel bad for Shane Doan because I really, looking at the other guy involved in it, Shane Doan was in the right, no matter what happened. Moving on. Ticket prices for the 2011 All-Star Game in Raleigh, North Carolina were announced.
Where you're hated, by the way.
Where I am hated, even though I love them. $260 gets you a lower-level ticket for the skills competition and the All-Star Game. Upper-level packages are $200. The tickets to the game only are $180 for the lower level and $135 for the upper level. Do you think these ticket prices are reasonable for the casual fan?
As long as they're in line, Drew, with what similar prices would be, and if you're trying to gather everybody together, I mean, those prices, to me, in this day and age, seem pretty reasonable. I don't have that much of a problem with them. I wouldn't pay that money to go see it, but if you're interested in the game and you take your family...
We get press passes.
Yeah, well, let me ask, I mean, so you say they're reasonable. If you, I mean, you're a hardcore hockey fan, and you're not going to pay that money to see a game.
Because
you know
game?
It's, to see an All-Star game.
Drew.
I know, because it's, I mean...
It's all giveaways. Nobody wants to go see that game. It's boring as it can be.
So who's going to pay this money to see this game?
They're going to sponsor, going to pay them and give them away.
Well, no, I mean,
a casual fan might buy the Upper Deck ticket, but the casual fan who's buying Upper Deck ticket is probably a guy with a young family. Yeah, you know, a family with a young child. You know, $135 for upper level isn't cheap and probably should be a little less. But you are seeing quote unquote the best players in the world, and the players you really can kind of cover your bases. You can see all those great favorite players of a kid in one shot.
So you're okay with it?
I'm fine with it.
Ezzy?
Yeah, I have no problem with the prices. I mean, the prices don't jump at you as anything out of the ordinary. I mean, I'm not sure what the ticket prices were last year. Or actually, there was no All-Star game last year. But
thankfully.
Two years ago. As far as hockey goes, I think we're all in agreement that we'd like to see both the Olympics and the World Cup. When it comes to the All-Star game, we're all hardcore hockey fans in this room. Nobody is a huge fan of the All-Star game. It's fun. I think they've had way too many format changes, and they should stick to one thing.
I agree with that.
The fact that they have they made it so that the winner gets a... some type of advantage in the playoffs, or have they not?
They don't need to do that.
They haven't done that.
It's good as it is.
So, I mean, it's specifically for the hardcore fan, but like I said, we're all hardcore fans. This isn't the NBA skills competition. I'm not watching the hardest shot like I would be watching the slam dunk competition. So
let's, before we move on to the next topic, just keep in mind this is Raleigh, North Carolina, where, as I documented previously, they were giving away regular season tickets on a table that nobody was taking.
And the games were to
Washington, Montreal,
Ovechkin,
the Canadiens.
By the way, I have a note. We didn't put this in the show tonight, but I found this interesting. I saw a tally of the versus games.
Yeah.
And aside from six to eight American teams, the Montreal Canadiens are on there more than any other team.
Well, because they draw ratings everywhere.
The Habs are on there five more times than Nashville. The Habs are on there. Yeah, I mean, and every other Canadian team only had one, if not any, if any appearances on versus, and they have four. Six. So pretty impressive.
Four of the Broad Street Bullies, Bill Clement, Orest Kinderchuk, Bob Kelly, and Dave Schultz, are set to become American citizens by the end of the year. Considering they have lived in the U.S. for decades now, do you, as a Canadian, have any problem with this?
No. I have a problem with you writing this question. Just kidding, Drew. I always give you a hard time because...
You love the citizenship questions.
It's always the ticket prices with Drew. Drew loves the ticket prices, and we love it.
I'll tell you what I really love is these Kit Kats I'm eating here. These are delicious Kit Kats.
Yeah, Drew.
I don't have any problem with this. I didn't read this. I guess you found this on Twitter or whatever. But
Bill Clement, as long as you put the shirt on after that Off-Skintastic commercial, I don't have a problem with him at all.
When I was younger, and I think everyone here might have had a problem with this, even though we all obviously love the U.S., but we had a little bit of a problem with some of the Canadian players who grew up in Canada. Well, now I've changed. As I've gotten older, I kind of respect the fact that if someone has lived in the U.S. and they want to play for the U.S., that's fine.
It's an issue when it's a circumvention of essentially the rules to get on an Olympic team. Not being enough to play in Canada, playing in the U.S.
Yep.
This is a team that was all a bunch of farm boys in 1972. I encourage you to watch that documentary by HBO. They played against the Russians in 72. They beat them. Yeah, that's right. So these are Canadian guys who are living in the States now.
Right, and this is a little bit different. I mean, I was just bugging Drew about the question, but these are all guys now in their 60s, late 50s, whatever, and they've probably lived in the U.S. for 20 years now.
More, since they were 20, 25. Yeah, so 30, I mean, 40 years.
If they have homes in Philadelphia or Florida or Texas or whatever, obviously they're going to have... There's dual citizens.
Well, what's the big deal? They're not giving up their Canadian citizenship.
Skipping the next question due to time constraints. As first discussed on last week's show, Red Wings defenseman Nicholas Cronwall's knee concerns resulted in him having arthroscopic knee surgery. Doctors found a lateral meniscus tear. For a team known to be the model franchise in the NHL, how badly have the Red Wings handled this situation?
I don't think badly. I mean, this is a team obviously has his best interests in mind, and it was an injury that worse than they thought it was. I mean, they certainly want him to be in the dressing room, on the ice, the training camp, and obviously ready to go for October 9th or right around there. It's probably not their ideal situation, but I don't think it was a matter of mismanagement. I think it was just a matter of the injury kind of being worse than they thought, and they go by the reports, obviously the player, and then that's just what happened. I don't think it's anybody here is to blame.
Okay. Ezzy, anything to add?
I don't think that they've mishandled the situation at all. Not at all, but as much maybe as some of the NHL media has talked about. But
I think they were disappointed
that it's got to this point. But I think this is almost one of those stories where if this happens in the season, we accept that he was injured, but because it's, you know, but September 1st or August 30th or whatever, that was yesterday, by the way.
Here's my point, though. I mean, look, his meniscus didn't tear, late in the off season. His meniscus was probably torn at the beginning of the off season.
I really like listening to you say meniscus, Drew. You pronounce that very nicely.
Drew M.D. Mandela.
Yeah, well, why don't you, find out what the problem actually is, opposed to just being sore at the beginning of the off season, have him have the surgery.
Drew, do you want to see an MRI right now?
Drew, your initials are DM, not MDM, for a reason.
Despite receiving a very classy send-off on the last Saturday night of regular season action last season, it was announced Bill McCreary will return as an official this year.
I like this question. It's a good one.
Not related to McCreary specifically, who is your favorite current referee in the league?
Actually, Bill McCreary is actually my favorite referee. I know some people don't like him. I think he's fair. I think he calls a good game. I think he sets the tone. I love his mustache. Bill McCreary, if I recall correctly, actually used to play in the NHL. He was a player before he turned to ref.
H-Bomb, can you check that out
I like the way he controls the tempo of a game.
Still
I like
artist.
The way he's...
I love how you said you loved his mustache. That's
yeah, great mustache, you know, and I actually do. He's actually my favorite. Now, some people really don't like him. Some people really do like him. I'm in the really like him category.
Ezzy?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of the referees that I liked are kind of retired now. I don't even know if I can name that many referees at this point.
Wacom's return? You like that?
He's not director of officiating.
He's back now. He's back.
Was he back?
Yeah, officiating. He's back on the ice again.
I hate that. I've made my dislike of Stephen Wacom very clear.
When we were younger, we grew up with names on the backs of jerseys. And Eddie makes a good point there. Nobody knows refs anymore.
Now. Yeah, well, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Scapinello was a legend. He's
unless,
gone.
Unless
he's
Mark who had the big scrap with the Burrows.
I guess I would say Kerry. You know what, Richie? I'd probably say Fraser. Maybe Kerry Fraser's always been a pretty solid.
Great
ref.
Head of hair too.
He's got great head of hair.
The helmet really got in the way there.
Yeah, the helmet. Yeah. Really,
once the helmet.
There should be an exception for Kerry Fraser's hair with all the helmets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once the helmet came into play, it was time for Kerry to retire.
Yeah, I agree.
Wouldn't be surprised if he spends 2 hours just combing and. Windy in that hair.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of blow drying going on there.
The NHL has a new executive vice president of content. His name is Charles Copeland. Part of his responsibilities will be to oversee the NHL network. According to published reports, it will become edgier and less of an endless loop of highlights. In your ideal world, what format would you like to see the NHL network adopt?
Exactly the same as we don't have access to the MLB network, but exactly the same as the NFL network. Make it the place to be for hockey news. You know, this has so much potential and it's been so underutilized. It's kind of shocking, really, for them to finally take the steps to try and rectify their mistakes and turn this television station around. Is about time, and it took too long, actually. So, you, to be honest, though, Drew, you can't go any worse. I mean, I'm sorry, the guys who are on that show don't have a chance because it's just such a boring environment. Get some life into there. Change the studio first of all. The studio looks like it's in like the basement of a Tim Hortons. You know, it's enough. Like, you're a big league, organization. I know NHL Network's got a little bit bigger showing games in the U.S. Become a North American network, get a big studio, put some money into NHL, and they can save some money on the lawyer fees with all these problems here, and put it towards the NHL Network and gather more fans and get more hardcore fans.
Who does the NHL Network have these days? Gary Green, is Mark Bunting on there?
The Gary Green, who people didn't know, since he left TSN. Well, TSN owns some of the NHL Network, but since he left TSN with Paul Romanek, people forgot about him. And then it was Dave Reed who did a pretty good job, but wasn't the...
Dave Reed's good.
Informed, yep. But I think he left to coach now. I think he's doing a job. He's in the CHL now. Dave Reed was informed, as he, but he didn't bring any life to the
No, but you're right, though. The NHL Network, for some reason, became... NHL on the fly is what they showed the most of, right?
Over and over
if
and
you have,
over.
If you're a hardcore fan and let's say you have cable or you have the NHL Center Ice Package,
yeah.
Why are you watching NHL on the fly? When the NHL Network came out, I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. They're going to have documentaries and behind-the-scenes stuff.
NFL films. Yeah,
like NFL films.
That's another reason.
And then they were giving you NHL on the fly every day. Okay, we're going to go to some games now. Well, why don't I just either watch a game or... Check out the highlights on SportsCenter.
Exactly.
You got it right, Rich. The NHL Network, basically when they say edgier, that probably means female host or something like that. That's probably what they mean by edgier. I don't know what edgier means. Are they going to have a new font? Are they going to have a new tablecloth on the table? I mean, the set definitely needs to be.
Hopefully, they can move it out of the Tim Hortons basement.
Right. No, but if they want to improve the quality of programming, they have to offer something that their viewers like. I can't see a lot of people saying that NHL on the Fly is one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
NHL on the Fly isn't really anything more than a sports center just for hockey.
The worst, not even funny.
Right. Yep.
There is no ha-ha.
Not a lot of ha. Not a lot of high course ha.
Yeah.
Ha! Ha!
Hate none
the,
of that.
Hate the high course ha.
According to Mark Emmons of the San Jose Mercury News, Joe Thornton is in the process of building a new house in the San Jose area.
Yeah.
In the same article, Thornton makes it clear San Jose is where his family will be permanently residing. Mm-hmm. Armed with this news, do you think the Sharks will ask for a hometown discount when negotiations take shape on his new contract?
They might. That's a good question. They might. I just don't think he's that guy. And I don't think you're going to win with him. The current roster, with him as being your go-to guy, it's very difficult to win. Now, I know last year Joe Pavelski took steps to bypass him on the roster in terms of the most important scorer and the best center. Your team probably will have a tough time winning if he's making $6 million as your number one center. Now, if he's making $4 million or right around there, and he's your first or second line center, but he's not up as much cap room, then you might have a better chance. But I just, he hasn't ever proven to be that guy. And his house should have nothing to do at all with any decisions Doug Wilson makes. I still think there's very, good chance the team gets better by trading him. And they have to do that. If they deem it to be the right decision, they have to do that regardless of his family situation. I mean,
hopefully it's not Doug for Wilson's Marco Sturm, Wayne Primo, and Brad Stewart, though.
That's right.
This time.
That's a great point, Des. I think you're on something there, the hometown discount. He seems like a kind of guy, team guy, who would do that. And he's made enough money in his career, too.
Has he?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's a huge possibility. How many years does Thornton have left on his current deal?
No, I'll check that right now. I think it's
one
two.
Or two more. Yeah, two, one, two more
right
years.
Now.
And I mean, that could be the difference.
True, if it's four, it's a terrible question.
That could be the difference between a short.
No, it's only one.
I thought it was only one.
7.2. So it's a great question. I thought it was a good question before. 7.2, which is more than I said. So again, if he doesn't take the cut into the 4.5-4 range, 5 probably being more realistic in the sense, his importance. I mean, the team's ability to move forward, especially with the cap constraints that they sometimes impose upon themselves, it could hold them back.
And wouldn't you expect them to try to have a deal done, you know, before the trade deadline or at the trade deadline, so they don't have to go into the summer? And
Yeah, maybe. But that's a good point. But they paid Marlowe 6.9 next year, 6.9 on his next cap hit, and Danny Heatley's 7.5. So is Thornton's ego going to be able to take that much less? Pavelski's a 4. Thornton still is one of the leading net scorers in the National Hockey League. I'm not personally sold on his ability in the playoffs, and I never thought he could prove himself in the Olympics and in the World Cup.
I think it's going to happen for the Sharks. I'm not going to go on a tangent here and say that the Sharks are going to win the Cup next year, but I think the Sharks will. They're a couple of pieces away.
Not many, but yeah.
With Niemi, I like that. I'm just saying that. I really like that.
I do too.
There's not too much
that
they've done.
I don't think they're better than Vancouver, though.
I like that they went after Jarmos and Lease made the effort.
I
but
agree.
I like the Niemi. I like that they're good. They're setting goal now.
On paper, they're great, Ezzy. I mean, they could use another defenseman there.
That's it. They haven't replaced Rob Blake.
But have we not talked about Niemi, by the way?
We did earlier.
Oh, that was during
that's
cake.
When you were
that was during cake.
That's when you were cutting cake.
Okay.
That's when you were cutting cake, Ezzy. But the Sharks, I've said on this show 2 weeks ago, and I'll be saying it probably all year, Vancouver Canucks, best team in the Western Conference.
Okay. Let's leave it there. That's it for Rapid Fire on this Wednesday night. When we come back, we're going to be joined by David Staples of the Edmonton Journal to break down all the happenings in the oil country. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 KICK FM.
Beer for breakfast sucks. I mean, they got no stars, they got no hits, they play music I wouldn't take a to. They got these local guys I've never even heard of before, and they come into the studio all dressed up in their denim Value Village outfits, and they keep talking about these cool clubs they're playing at, and it's quite pathetic if you ask me. I also hear the host doesn't shower, but that's an FYI. Beer for breakfast, it's where the crap begins.
Every Saturday from 10 to 1 on 92.9 KICK FM.
I love you.
My name is Walt Mucci.
Oh my!
KICK FM.
Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Saturdays.
Saturdays.
1 p.m. Retro Evolution. Retro Evolution. 80s.
Ooh, for something to hold the power of owner of the moon.
92.9 KICK FM.
Hi, I'm Kenny, host of The K Show, heard Sundays from noon to 2 here on KICK FM. And I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize. Sometimes The K Show can be insensitive, sometimes politically incorrect, and sometimes, well, it's in bad taste. For this, I'm sorry. The Kenny Show should always be insensitive, always be politically incorrect, and always in bad taste. After all, real opinions about real world issues usually are. So join me Sundays from noon to 2 on Winnipeg's Indie Station 92.9 KICK FM for the stories you want to talk about the way you want to talk about them. That's The Kenny Show.
The Kick All Request Hour. Hi, I'm Denise, and I'll be taking requests every Thursday from 3 to 4 at 780-KICK, that's 780-5425. Or email me your request anytime at Denise, spelled D-E-N-I-Z, at kick.fm. Also, check out the blog at kickallrequest.wordpress.com for a request playlist of all the songs that were played during the hour. That's the Kick All Request Hour every Thursday from 3 to 4 on Winnipeg's Indie Station 92.9. KICK FM.
In the PM. Welcome back to the Legal Curve Radio Show. My name is Drew Mandel. I'm the host of this program, joined in studio by Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg. Hart Jacob is running the R-Desk tonight, and Adam Gutkin is sitting in. We're now joined on the line by David Staples of the Edmonton Journal. David, thanks very much for joining us. Welcome to the Legal Curve Radio Show.
Hey, Drew and Richard.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Dave, it's Ezra. I'm also here.
We have 10 guys in the studio, though.
Yeah, it's a party here tonight.
Hard and Adam as well.
Dave, let's start with the Nikolai Habibulin situation. I mean, we know we have a soft spot in our hearts here in Winnipeg for Nikolai Habibulin, obviously from his days with the Jets.
Yeah.
What's Oilers management? You know, what is their thinking right now? What is the next step they're going to take?
Oilers management has always been entirely supportive of Nikolai Habibulin. The team got a ton of criticism by writers and fans when they signed Habibulin to a big deal because he's an older player, injury prone. Right from the start, though, he's always been Steve Tambellini's guy. And through this entire thing where he's now been convicted of extreme drunk driving, Tambellini has stood right behind the guy. And he's not commenting on it because it's being appealed, so still before the courts, although I have no idea how something that Steve Tambellini says in Edmonton is going to affect the courts in Arizona. So I think that's ridiculous. But that's their stance, and they're not saying anything except that they fully support the guy.
Dave, with Habibulin, obviously the uncertainty involving his conviction, the Oilers have three goaltenders also in the picture, and Jeff Drouin-Delorier and Devan Dubnyk, and then signing Martin Gerber. How do you see that goaltending situation fleshing out throughout training camp and then going into the season?
Well, it looks like Habibulin, some of these appeals, he's appealing we're not sure if it's his sentence or his conviction or what he's appealing. These can be dragged out quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
So he might be able to play the entire season as this thing winds its way through court. And depending on, he had surgery last year on his back. And so depending on how that goes, if he's ready to come back, Habibulin could be playing, 50 games this year. Mm-hmm. And then it would be between Dubnyk and Delorier, I imagine, for the backup job. Most Oiler watchers think Dubnyk has the edge. Delorier really struggled last year.
How do you feel about both of those younger netminders?
I think Dubnyk has potential, actually, to be an NHL backup, maybe even a starter. He looked very solid in net. Delorier was all over the net. He let in a ton of soft goals last year. He goes down too much. He's out of position often. He's a poor puck handler. This guy has incredible reflexes and speed in the net, so he makes up for a lot of his mistakes with his athletic ability. But he's the worst positional goalie I've seen in a long time in the NHL, and he just needs more time on the farm, in my opinion.
He's kind of an old-time goaltender that way.
Yeah, he's like Mike Palmatier.
Yeah.
Back in the day, the wandering goalie.
What did you think of the process in signing Sam Gagne, the terms of the deal, how long it took, and, he must be happy, I guess, that he's got a contract.
It's a good contract. They didn't overpay him. He comes up again in 2 years.
Yep.
So if they had signed him to a three-year deal, I guess he could have gone to arbitration and signed a one-year deal, which would have meant he would have been, at the end of that one-year deal, he could have been a free agent, a complete free agent. So this allows them to watch him for a couple more years, and then they have 2 years left. After that two-year period, they can sign him to a long-term deal if he pans out. So there's a real window to sign this guy if he pans out while he's still Oilers' property. So it was just a good move all around, and Tambellini actually had a very good summer all around with the moves he made.
No, yeah, yes, he couldn't go. Yeah, that's an interesting one. I thought I agree with you there, Dave, in terms of the Gagne signing. I thought it was the right term, the right amount of money, and I thought that you really don't want to throw anything to arbitration these days. The arbitration awards have been kind of inflated for many players. Many players have signed deals for significantly less than they were awarded in arbitration. That's obviously a risk that he was trying to avoid.
Yes, I think if he had been awarded a lot of money in arbitration, the Oilers would have matched it.
Right. See, I agree. With you.
I'm not quite sure of the arbitration rights of a player in Gagne's position, though. Did he have the right to go to arbitration? I'm not enough of a CBA expert to say that. Players coming out of their first 3 year of the rookie contracts and that first contract, can they go to arbitration?
I think they can, but I'm not sure. First year after the entry level, I think. I'll check on that. So I think if they would have signed to a 1 year deal.
Yes, then he would be eligible at that point.
Right.
Or, but I don't know if he was this time. I don't believe so.
I don't think he was this time. I think what happens is when he, if he were to sign a one-year deal in that situation, I thought the Oilers would have incurred far more risk because, you know, even the players, like Clark MacArthur's award was for over $2 million, and Gagne is more than twice the player he is. And if he was getting that kind of money on a one-year pack, I mean, if Gagne had an even similar season to last year, they might have awarded him 3.5. So this deal seemed like a pretty reasonable one for both sides.
I think it was the prudent move. The only, you know, the only other thing they might have done was go long term, 6 or 7 years,
possibly, yeah,
with a lot more money. Like, just say, we believe in you. We've seen enough. We think it's going to happen with you, and that might have saved them a lot of money in the long term. But that would have been a risky deal in case he still doesn't pan out.
Yeah. Sure.
We're joined on the Legal Curve radio show by David Staples of the Edmonton Journal. Dave, you know, the issue that's sort of, it's been bubbling and it's been an issue for almost, I betcha, a year and a half at this point, is that Sheldon Surrey. Is there any resolution in sight? You know, what's going to happen if he's still on the Oilers roster come training camp?
Well, there's an indication, most recent one, that, you know, that the Oilers are open to him being at training camp. You know, the Oilers, they should never have signed Surrey in the first place. He was a high-risk signing, an older physical defenseman, slow guy, prone to injury. And that's exactly, he had his first year wiped out. Second year he had a good season, and his third year was wiped out. And he got a bad concussion last year. I just don't know if he's going to be any kind of, when he came back, he was no kind of NHL player at all. These concussions really do have a terrible effect on players' performance. That's what we saw with Surrey. So I guess the hope is that maybe he could possibly come back. I don't think anyone has much choice about this. He's gonna show up. He has the right to show up. And, you know, he hasn't done anything that's suspendable, I don't believe. So, you know, they could choose to waive him and send him to the minors right away.
Yes.
And that's a possibility. And maybe he'd do enough down there to win someone's confidence, especially if he was recalled and the other team only had to pay half of his salary and the Oilers paid the other half. So there's no upside for the Oilers in making him sit. He's got to play to show that he can play, because teams that were watching him closely realized this guy was struggling last year. We've got to see more, I think. So I think that he's going to play somewhere, but it could well be the American Hockey League.
Dave, one of the luxuries of being a bad team for a long time is you get a lot of high draft picks, and then the Oilers obviously have a nice stable of young, talented players, Eberle, Svensson, and Taylor Hall, obviously the biggest three names out there that people know. How do you see the rookies figuring into the picture this year, and how much responsibility do you see them getting? And on that point, how much do you think the development curve is, how high or steep do you think the development curve is going to be, especially defensively and in more difficult situations against tougher competition?
Well, all three players, I think there's a lot of optimism in Edmonton, and I think it's completely warranted in this case.
I agree.
Taylor Hall, you know, he won the last two Memorial Cup MVPs. He was the best player, in my mind, at the World Junior Tournament.
I agree.
He was electric out there.
Oh, yeah.
He's a tremendous hockey player, and if he can remain healthy, he is going to be a tremendous NHL goal scorer. I just can't see otherwise. You know, stranger things have happened, I guess, but what a tremendous hockey player.
You're an Oilers fan, Dave, and follow the team very closely. Let me interject for a second. Just,
yeah.
Taylor Hall reminds me in a lot of ways of Mark Messier. And I'm not necessarily saying in terms of the exact style, exact like hands and the way they move the puck, but just the skating stride and that the look in their eyes, and it's just, get out of my way.
He looks like Mark Messier.
And that head, too, you know?
Facial features. The thing is, Mark Messier played with a nasty, nasty edge.
Right, yeah.
He was a violent hockey player. And I don't see that in Taylor Hall. I think we're going to need to survive in the NHL, Taylor Hall's going to have more of that in his game. The big concern is that he's going to get injured. I mean, he was belted many times, and this was on the Oilers' radar. You know, can we risk drafting a player who gets belted like that all the time? So that's the one question everyone has about Taylor Hall. Now, when we go on to Eberle, he made a believer out of me. He played for Canada at the World Championships. A lot of really good hockey players on that team. You know, the young guys like Matt Duchene, Stamkos. Mm-hmm. Jordan Eberle looked just like any of the other ones. He fit right in. He looked as good as they did, and he produced. He reminds me, he has incredible hockey sense. He's a small hockey player. but he thinks the game at an extremely high level, you know, in the top, I'd say the top 10% for pro hockey players. And he reminds, there was a player called Joel Mullen who was a small guy for the Calgary Flames and tremendous goal scorer in the NHL. Everly's game is reminiscent of Mullen's game. You know, we don't know if he'll turn out to be that caliber of player in the long term, but there's a lot of similarities. So I think he's the furthest along in terms of being NHL ready, although he's the smallest physically. He just can play flat-out play hockey at the NHL level, I believe. Pjarvi Svensson, who's just going by the name of Pjarvi now, has great offensive talent, which, and he was on the All-Star team at the World Championships this isn't for juniors, it was for, you know, men, for pro players. He's on the All-Star team. Incredible ability to skate in fast, attack the net. Defensively, he was lost at the World Championships. In overtime, in a big game against the Czechs, Jaromir Jagr came on the wing a couple times. He was Pjarvi's man, and Pjarvi was just playing Matador defense, waving at him. So he's going to struggle, I think, with the defensive game. I wouldn't be surprised if he spent some time at Oklahoma City in the American Hockey League. It's probably the best move.
Okay, that was a great analysis of the young guns, because I know everyone here is excited that, you know, I think we all want the Canadian teams to do well, and Edmonton is a team that I think no one wants to see them doing poorly, and it's good to see that they've got all of these young prospects in their system, and we're expecting big things out of all three of those guys, especially Eberle and Hall. Another guy we wanted to ask you about is Cogliano. Do you think he's long for Edmonton, or do you think there's a possibility that he might get moved?
Well, I think he should be long for Edmonton because I think he's a player. But the Oilers keep trying to trade this guy. They tried to trade him last summer for Danny Heatley.
So many times.
Yeah, they tried to trade him. And, you know, you could argue that the Oilers have a surplus of this kind of player. And maybe maybe Cogliano wants to play a top six role, being a scoring forward, and they see a different role for him. But I think he did adjust his game last year and was playing a different kind of game. Last year, he went to the net much harder and screened the goalie much harder, and he back-checked Becker better than before. He played kind of a smarter game in his own end and a more physical game. He had far more hits than he had previously. So I think he is actually evolving into this different kind of player, kind of in the Dan Cleary model in Detroit. You know, kind of a checking winger who can score a bit and screens the goalie a lot and has pretty good speed. So Cogliano is getting it. I think any team that picks him up is going to be getting him at a bargain price, and it would be nice to see the Oilers work more with this player. They say that he's in their plans, but, you know, there's this endless rumor mill of him being on the block.
Dave, last question here, then we'll let you go. With the Oilers currently obviously in a rebuilding mode, focusing on the young players, is Alex Hemsky likely to last the year in Edmonton?
I think so. I think you know, they have these two wingers, Penner and Hemsky. They're both on, I think they're both 27, 28. They're both on $4 million a year contracts. They're excellent hockey players. They're not being paid much. They could really help a team going for the Stanley Cup. But they both have 2 years left before, so there's no rush for the Oilers trading them. They can trade them next summer and get full value. So I think that there's real value in having these kind of players here to take on the tough competition so the Taylor Halls and Jordan Eberles don't get killed out there. Penner made every single player who played with him last year better. Hemsky can do the same thing. So I don't think the Oilers will trade them this year. Maybe next summer.
Dave Staples of the Edmonton Journal, thanks very much for joining us tonight on the Legal Curve Radio Show.
Thanks a lot.
Take care, Dave. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Really good insight. Just to quickly let you guys know, he writes for our listeners, people who read the Edmonton Journal, Dave Staples. He has a blog, Cult of Hockey, if you're an Oilers fan, or just a hockey fan, but if you're especially an Oilers fan, it's a must-read.
Yeah, it's affiliated with the Edmonton Journal as well.
Yeah, well, it is. It's on the Edmonton Journal website. It's a must-read, though, if you're an Oilers fan. Check it out.
There's an amazing baseball brawl going on the screen right now.
Well, it's a brawl. Nothing actually happens in any baseball brawl.
No, that one there did. The guy just got speared out of
his shoes. Doesn't Don Zimmer have to be involved in every baseball?
Yeah, no. Brawl? Pedro Martinez throwing him to the ground.
Pedro and Don Zimmer.
Yeah. It's time. Okay, so that was Dave Staples. We've earlier heard from Dan Wood of the Anaheim Ducks Radio Network. Time to finish off like we normally do. It's time for cheers and jeers.
Cheers and cheers. Cheers and cheers.
Okay. I'm cheering Joey Shields. The fact that he's in Mumford & Sons, that's awesome. He's multi-talented, man.
I'm actually going to jeer Ron Wilson. This is not ready with publicity in terms of this issue.
I'm going to cheer the release of the schedule. Looks like I may not have to buy Venerate.
I'm going to jeer the cost to attend the World Hockey Summit. $450. It's the only thing more expensive than attending the World Hockey Summit was attending the NHL Awards 2 years ago.
That's true. Cheers and jeers.
Cheer or jeer.
Ezzy, start us off tonight with cheers and jeers.
Man, that, listening to that Prodigy track is getting me pumped up to hit a rave right now.
Same here. I was like, I forgot about Prodigy.
Want to hit an Exchange District warehouse or what?
We have the same taste in music, I swear.
Oh, yeah. Prodigy, Lady Ezzy. Gaga,
Focus.
Kesha. Okay, so I'm going to cheer, and this is in honor of Hart. By the way, Hart, I didn't know that you were coming on the show. I would have prepared differently if I would have known that. I would
have got me a cake too.
I would have got the Lemieux jersey from you. I'm cheering Mario Lemieux. He was named to the Order of Canada. And a lot of people, you know, say, oh, anyone's, you know, named to the Order of Canada. I think Richard Pollock one day will be named to the Order of Canada, by the way.
I think that's, yeah.
But
order some fries, I'd be happy with that.
No, it's the highest order you can get, the Order of Canada. But no, Mario Lemieux was named, and I believe he'll be inducted on Friday. And it was the first, you know, serious hockey jersey that I ever bought. Hart currently has that somewhere in his closet. But he's my favorite player of all time, and I'm cheering Mario, the magnificent one.
All right, good one.
H-bomb.
Can I cheer a cheer?
You can cheer whatever you want.
We've cheered cheers and jeered cheers before.
Well, I certainly wouldn't jeer that cheer. No, I just want to cheer the entire Illegal Curve team. You know, being inside the studio, it really does see how, and I mean this seriously, how professional you guys take the show. And it's an honor to be a part of it. And props to the R-Desk because, again, his job is not easy. Good props. Job, Remus.
Props to Audi, but certainly props to Hart for doing an admirable job filling in tonight.
Big props for Hart for doing the work that Remus normally does.
I'm going to, it's hard to follow that one up, I'm going to jeer the whole Kovalchuk process at this point. It's on the news all the time. Let's get for the betterment of the game here. Let's get something done. I mean, they're drawing this out. People don't even care anymore. Fans are losing interest. So one of the best players in the National Hockey League, let's find a resolution here, meet halfway, come to some kind of agreement that you think will be reasonable. And I think these people, these sides are being very unreasonable, and two unreasonable sides generally have a lot of trouble coming to an agreement. That's what's happening here. And you're losing one of the most marketable stars, a guy who can easily score 50 goals, and he's sitting there in limbo, and you could lose him to the KHL. NHL and NHLPA should be working together here, find some kind of resolution, and stop always battling, because you can grow the game together as opposed to always butting heads.
Adam Gutkin, the man we know fondly as Mutton, a cheer or a jeer?
I'm just here for the emotional support today, guys.
Except for the emotional part, so that's a cheer.
That he's cheering emotional support.
He's cheering support. Emotional support.
That's nice. That's good. We're always pleased to provide emotional support
and
for
an
our
extra,
friends.
An extra cheer for the 1 year and 1 week anniversary of Denise upping the show.
Yes. And a round of applause for Denise for that. Now we have to think. Now we have to figure out what anniversary is for next week, so we can have more cake.
That's true. Good point, Drew.
Thank you. So somebody work on that.
Well, it will be the 1 week anniversary of the first cake.
Yes, good one.
Cheers to that.
Drew's not coming, so as you know, I'll have cake.
That's
again.
Right. I won't be here next week. It'll be Richard.
It is
Erev Rosh Hashanah. That is Erev the night before the start of the Jewish New Year. So I will be.
There's an anniversary for
today. Yeah, we can cheer that. Does the cake have to be kosher for next week's show, though?
Stop by Desserts Plus and pick something up.
Alrighty, so I won't be here next week, but Richard and Ezra and Denise
will be in the host seat. We'll be letting you know everything on the.
I'll be tuned in. Don't get me wrong. I'll be tuned
right
in.
Now.
Yeah. Well, I have to do my cheer,
dear. Oh, damn it.
Sorry, I'm going to be cheering Yaroslav Halak. Yaroslav Halak is going to return to Montreal this coming Saturday. He's going to sign autographs to pay tribute to all of his fans in Montreal. And all of the proceeds raised by this autograph signing is going to the St. Justine's Hospital in Montreal. So I think that's a nice gesture. He's giving back to the community. Not crazy about the fact that he's charging for these autographs.
He's charging.
You have to pay $20 for these autographs, but all the money's going to the hospital, so it's a worthwhile cause. So I'm okay with that. I mean, I don't think that.
No, Pete Rose.
No, I don't think that if there's somebody can't afford an autograph, they're going to throw him out of the line or throw him into the gulag or anything. So I'm confident about that.
The gulag.
Yeah.
That was the original Guantanamo Bay.
Wow.
You really never know what you're on the show.
Different. You never know where you never know where you're going to go.
Four.
Big thank you. No, not yet. Big thank yous tonight to Dan Wood of the Anaheim Ducks Radio Network. Big thank you to Dave Staples of the Edmonton Journal. Big thank you to Denise behind the glass doing her typically fantastic job. Denise, is there anything for you to plug?
Of course. The Kickout Request Hour is back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Three to four. And Drew, don't text me. I don't check my phone. So.
Oh, don't text me. I'm going in the next loop for Rapid Fire.
Allie K is getting jealous.
He texted me his request, and then he got mad that I didn't play it. I don't look at my phone.
Has Drew been flooding your...
Wow, Drew gets thrown right under the bus.
Sorry, Drew.
just trigger happy on that BlackBerry, man.
For Drew Mandel.
I'm stunned right now. Anyways, a replay of this show is available tomorrow night in Brandon, Manitoba on CJ 106.5. So if you happen to be in the Brandon area listening or traveling to the Brandon area, you can hear this all over again.
Drew, didn't you drive down to Brandon just so you could hear it in Brandon?
In fact, I didn't. But it streamed live on the CJ 106.5 website also.
Is there a way to hear it in Winnipeg or not really?
No,
on the CJ 106.5 website.
Okay.
They stream audio live. Of course, the podcast version of this program will be up on the Kick FM website sometime tomorrow, I hope.
Yep.
The replay of this program is from 10 until noon on Kick FM Sunday morning, so you can hear us then. Let me think. There's an immediate replay available on Ustream tonight, so you can just click.
We hope.
Yeah, we hope. Click play about 5 minutes after we get off the air, and you should be able to find us there. You know, follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve throughout the course of the week. Follow us on Facebook at our Facebook address is illegalcurve.com.
Yes.
You can always send us an email, drew@illegalcurve.com. Send us something on Twitter also if you want to hear a topic or a segment on the program.
Drew, I know it's 9:02 right now. I emailed you guys this before, but Doc Emrick, is the man, the myth, the legend, is confirmed.
2 weeks.
2 weeks from now, Doc Emrick will be right off the hop.
We'll have
him on first interview in 2 weeks. We had to make sure that he was for sure on because he's a busy guy. We tried getting him very many times.
I like it.
In fact, Ezra has been sleeping on his doorstep for the past week to confirm the interview, so that was well done on you.
Number now.
You're tenacious.
I haven't confirmed a Facebook friend yet, though, have you?
Did Doc Emrick tell you not to text him?
No, just knees dropped that bomb on me.
He actually said that I could call him anytime, so I've got his BlackBerry.
Well, so you have more.
Well, Ezra has 3,000 more friends
with Doc Emrick than Drew has with Denise.
Well, probably, but you still have 3,000 more friends before your Facebook is done.
Yeah, why is that? I really
don't know. Over. Why are we still talking?
No, it's
not
over.
Is this going to be the show we stream online like every show does these days?
Yeah, that's right. It'll be
5,000 max.
It'll be the green room version of this program.
Ice cream cake. Last thing, really quick.
I'd rate it.
Rate it.
Okay, because it was slightly melted, but the crust was good.
Oh, really? We had a little discussion.
Poor Drew Mandel.
Anybody else have a rating on the cake, or can I wrap the show up for tonight?
Up,
okay, anyways, for Richard Pollock, for Ezra Ginsberg, for Adam Gutkin, for Denise Isaac, for Hart Jacob running the H desk tonight, my name is Drew Mandel. We thank you for listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show, and we wish you, until next Wednesday night, good night and good luck.